welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
866-901-ADAM is the phone number. 866-901-ADAM. And again, as we say many mornings, as the show gets rolling, it gets a little out of control. We get a little behind, constantly trying to make up time, and we don't have time for you. The little people.
Oh, I thought we were going to do Teresa.
No.
I'm always fired right here in front of me.
Always have time for Teresa, but I'm talking about the folks that want to reach us via the telephone.
Right.
We get guests in here, things get moving, and that's the way it works. We're like a store.
Please try your call again later.
You know, when you go into a deli and you go in at lunchtime, you're hard-pressed to get a booth.
Right.
If you go in at those in-between times, like 4 in the afternoon, come right this way, sir.
Absolutely.
Here's the booth.
Yeah, we'll
have
refill
some pickles.
The coffee.
That's right. Have a pickle. Have Danny's pickle and T's coffee.
That's right.
Or tea, ironically. Point is, that's where we're at now. We're delicatessen, and it's about 3:30 or 4 in the afternoon, and we're in between the lunch and dinner rush. Later on, we're busy.
Yeah,
we don't have time to see
you. For now,
you
can call 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah, that's right. I have a huge question that makes all the difference in the world to me. A or B in the window?
Oh, I think an A.
There is C's and D's, right?
I've seen a C. Where did you see a C?
I'm looking at
can
one
I
now.
Said, I knew it was coming.
Thank you.
601, and I've already been called a C. It's a record.
Wow.
Can I say where I saw one?
I didn't name mine. It was just a sushi restaurant.
It's a certain deli.
In Sun Valley.
Certain deli.
A very famous deli on Fairfax.
I think they had a C.
They had an incident, and then they shut down, and they cleaned up.
Are you talking about Cantor's?
Yes.
Well, here's the dealio with that. We're talking about the grading system that I think was born out here in Los Angeles and may have spread to other parts of the cities and worlds and nations.
Can't smoke in public or have sex in
the bathroom. Yes, we pioneered many a thing that has to do with the restaurant. But, you know, I would see a B and I would look at that thinking back on my own high school days and think, B, this is my place. My wife would say, I don't want to eat a place that's a B. And I'd say, first off, what kind of student were you in high school? I guarantee it was lower than this. B, where I'm from, is pretty damn good. So I don't mind the B. Also,
it's real easy to get a B, by the way.
The restaurant business,
yeah, for all minutes. And you leave a towel too close to something, you get a B.
Right.
It's not a big mistake.
No, don't mind it. And I'd eat at a restaurant that was a C minus D plus if they passed along. Like, their thing is I might just open a chain called D-. And what it is, look, we're not going to kid you. You could get sick, but our sandwiches are cheap.
Right.
I mean, and
we don't have that sign that says wash your hands.
Right.
But these sandwiches are great.
We saved $4 on that sign that says wash your hands. And by the way, everyone ignores.
Yeah.
We save $4, but we pass along
the savings.
Yeah. I like that.
I only wash my hands if there's someone else in there that can see.
We pass the savings and the E. coli.
Along. All right, so good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Brian.
Who screens these calls?
Kyle, the one morning I decided to take some calls is, he says urinating. I think rubbing one out. But either way, he's in the bathroom now. He's out of the bathroom, ready to man the phones.
No particular topic this morning when we call up at the deli. We don't have a blue plate special.
That's the beauty of it. You can order anything you want. You don't have to do it off the dry erase board that's out on the curb. Today, Richard Rawlings is coming in. He's the guy. He set the Cannonball Run record. That's New York to L.A., I do believe, if I remember my 70s movies correctly.
I know that it ends at the Santa Monica Pier in the movie, right?
One ends at the Queen Mary. Maybe that's the Gumball Rally. And one ends at maybe the Santa Monica Pier,
ended it in Redondo Beach.
This
most recent guy.
Oh, okay. Either way, you have to get from ocean to ocean is basically, I guess, Atlantic to Pacific Ocean is how it goes. He did it in how many hours, Brian? 30-something?
Under 32 hours.
Right. Gosh. So he was, averaging 95 miles an hour or something like that?
Somewhere around 87 miles an hour, all told.
I have a billion questions for him. I want to know what kind of equipment did these radar detectors work? What kind of ride was he in? How did it work? I know one thing these guys do is they take these cars and they modify them and they fill them with extra fuel tanks so they don't have to stop off and fuel every 400 miles. But I'm still curious how it works and how you evade the cops. Or did you evade the cops? Maybe you got 25 tickets on the way.
Adam has this is one of the major differences between Adam and I. Adam has a million questions for the winner of the Cannonball Run, and I have one.
Hmm. Yeah.
Why?
Well, I want to know, yes.
Then I'm done with the guy.
I have why, and then I want to know if he wore a diaper like the astronaut lady.
Diaper, not a bad question. Okay, I have two.
All right.
I'm in.
Yeah. And you could go ahead and technically make it three once we get into the diaper.
Right. Yeah, right, that's
true. Yeah, we've got two questions.
I do feel like, as far as the diaper goes, number one, no problemo. Probably done that drunk Baker's dozen times anyway. But the
in
number
bottles
two
and cups, or just wet yourself.
You know, sleeping over at a girlfriend's house, yeah, thinking I was staying in a urinal.
Yes, I've done the same thing. You dream that you're sitting on the potty.
I did
and
it
you
on
go.
A first date once.
Yeah,
what in God's holy name are you blathering about?
You dream that it's safe to go, and then you just let loose.
Hasn't everyone had that dream?
The first guy I heard
had it, and this was a long, long time ago. I thought it was a freak of nature. And then 10 years later, I had it happen. Then after it happened once, it probably happened. But I really seriously drank. I had probably five times in my life, but I would get up. I don't wet the bed. I'd get up and go to a closet or just a door, a corner, any
garbage
place that
can
would stop me. And I'd go like I was in the restroom.
Well, it's like one of those doomsday apocalyptic future movies where the computers turn on man.
Right.
Your brain is your computer. If you're like a car, we're talking about Cannonball Run, your brain, you know, your car and your legs are the wheels and your arms the steering wheel or your ass is the seat, whatever it is. Well, your heart is the engine. Your brain is kind of the computer.
Right, sure.
And it's a computer turning on itself because the bladder says, hey, man, I'm full up. I got to relieve myself. And it contacts the brain.
Yeah.
And it contacts part of the brain and goes, hey, man, I got to wake up and go relieve myself. And the brain goes, no, don't worry about it. Keep sleeping.
We'll take care of things.
We'll take care of things.
Right.
And then you whiz all over yourself and your girlfriend's comforter.
Yeah.
That's the computer turning on itself. Your brain should be on the same page. Yeah. There should be other parts of your brain that wake up and go, wait a minute, I'm not going to whiz all over this person's new mattress. Get this guy up and send him over to the bathroom. This is going to be humiliating. No, shh. I'm turning on myself.
If you've been dating a girl or a guy for under a week, and let's just assume you're drunk. I mean, you got to assume you're drunk.
I was sober.
You peed a guy's bed.
I was nervous.
Wow.
I was staying.
Especially for a guy. Yeah. You've only been dating her a few weeks. How do you recover? How do you go?
I don't know about you, Adam, but this happened. I was staying. It was over Thanksgiving, and I was staying at his family's house.
Ooh.
Their very fancy house.
Yeah.
And I got nervous, and I didn't want to pee before bed. Because, you know, I just didn't want to walk around. I don't know. I was very nervous. They're very waspy people, and they had a very clean house.
You've seen enough of those movies where you're creeping down the long hall that connects all the bedrooms, and the dad, who's a senator, comes at the end, and he's wearing monogram pajamas, and he wants to know what you're doing.
Yes, their family owned a bank, and it was already...
Weirdo gay brother confronts you in the hall.
Yes.
Does that creepy thing where he drags his hand down your cheek with the back of his hand.
Yes, I think they were...
Movies you watch.
They wanted to get rid of... They wanted to get rid of their son's boyfriend, the Jew.
Right.
So then I got nervous, and then I fell asleep, and then in the middle of the night, I dreamt like, oh, thank God, I'm safely in the bathroom, I can just pee, I had to go so bad. Then I woke up, and it was like, kind of cold, wet, and then I thought, you know what, I'm going to get out of this.
Right.
I'm going to get out of it, because I can get the sheets off and not wake him up.
How are you going to get the sheets off and not wake him off?
Giant trick, like where you pull the tablecloth and leave all the plates.
Candelabra is still there.
Yeah. It was about a two-hour project. It was pitch black, and I was slowly, like, 1 inch by 1 inch trying to pull it out from under him.
Really? This guy must have been some kind of sleeper.
Well, eventually I gave up. I had to wake him up. But, and then how do you put it?
I always put it the same way.
I don't know, but I got to tell you, somebody needs to make a beverage that resembles urine in smell and touch.
And then you spill it.
Right. because unfortunately, there's just nothing that'll do when Wiz is there. You can't say I was drinking a coffee or a Coke or orange juice. I mean, there's nothing.
Sometimes you're a genius, Carolla, and sometimes you're not. Because if you've got the drink in your hand that looks, smells, and tastes like urine, and everyone knows it, they go, look at the guy pre-planning to pee in his bed.
Well, you know, there was a dog.
Maybe you're right.
You could always blame it on the dog, but sometimes that's confusing.
Yeah. I got to say, I did the exact same thing at an old girlfriend's house for no reason whatsoever. And the problem was... The problem came in the subsequent weeks and months we were together. Before every night we went to bed, I got the serious conversation. Have you gone to the bathroom?
Are you sure?
Are you sure?
Right.
It'd be 5 that afternoon. I'd be drinking a beer. She'd be like, are you sure? The streetlights are almost on, sweetie. Maybe you shouldn't finish. Give me the beer. I don't think you should be. That iced tea, I don't think you should. You know what? Here's a sack of flour. Ingest that. It was the condescending, and all I could do was look down and put my tail between my legs because I was the guy who whizzed on the bed.
And did you whiz on her?
Unclear. I mean, not directly, but unclear whether she got what I like to call collateral damage when it comes to whizzing in people's beds. I had probably... I was probably at my most miserable at that point in my life. She was a USC sorority girl.
Ugh,
that's right, Bri.
It's already awful.
Her dad basically set her up in a nice apartment in Beverly Hills. I used to hang out there, and it was great, except for I had a job that was right next to the Burbank Airport. Beverly Hills to the Burbank Airport is just one big long canyon drive. You know, there's no freeway in between the two. I had to be there at 7, and I was working with guys installing closets, and they were all born-again gangbangers.
Right, those guys.
5 of the least interesting Bible-thumping gangbangers on the planet. And so they went from, you know, stabbing people with shivs to... proselytizing about the Bible and speaking in tongues.
Nice.
But you could have no conversation with them. You couldn't even listen to non-religious radio when you worked with these guys. So it would be me and the 5 born-again gangbangers, the guy with the Bible in one hand and the teardrop tattoo on the one cheek. Imagine what you guys had to talk about. I would have to get up at 6 a.m. in the cold and get on my motorcycle and ride over the hill to this job with the born again gangbangers while she slept. And it always bumped me because she hated it when I woke her up, even though she had nothing to do that day except for have daddy pay for her apartment. So she'd do things like, can you close the close the door when you're in the bathroom? I can hear you brushing your teeth. And I'd be like, you're going to sleep until you get hungry enough to wake up somewhere around 10, maybe 10:15 this morning. Then you're going to waltz into daddy's kitchen and make yourself a nice Denver omelet. I will be scrunched in between the gangbangers in a panel van heading to somebody's house to install a goddamn closet, really. And as a matter of fact, if I were you, I would love to hear me making noise because it would remind me just how warm and comfortable I was.
Right.
I like it. I don't like somebody running a hairdryer for 45 minutes, but I love that point when I wake up and I go, what time is it? And I can hear my roommate in the distance and I go, oh,
and
your poor schlub. I ain't getting up for another 4 hours. And then I would get on my motorcycle and I would head my ass right over the canyon into beautiful, ugly, crappy Burbank and work with my gangbanging ex-con brothers. While they shouted out in tongues and always asking for traveling mercy before we loaded up the panel.
Well, you say you had nothing to talk about, but I don't know why you couldn't regale them with the story of how you peed on your girlfriend.
Oh.
Because everybody's got one.
Later on.
And his girlfriend.
Later on, the same chick dumped me, and now I was ultra miserable. I had the exact same job with the gangbangers, and the whole, everything still blew just as much in my life. Same crappy motorcycle, same crappy apartment. Everything minus the Beverly Hills sanctuary with the hot sorority chick. And I wanted to kill myself at that point. I think I'd officially bottomed out. Ooh, we got a peed in bed.
Ooh.
At boot camp.
Ooh.
Nice.
Sean.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's happening?
What is your major malfunction, numbnut?
You whizzed in bed at the Marine Corps?
Yeah, it's probably the worst day of my life. I was in the middle of boot camp. Been mm-hmm. in there for about a month. My drone instructors already hated me.
Mm-hmm.
And before we go to sleep every night, they make us drink a full canteen. And we go to bed, and usually, you know, kind of wake up in the middle of the night and go do my business.
But why do they make you drink a full canteen?
We want to make sure everyone stays hydrated so you don't pass out during PT and stuff.
Mmm. Semper we.
Exactly.
So you got to expect that's going to happen if you force all the 19-year-olds in your charge to drink a full canteen of water before they go to bed every night.
I don't know that I want my nation's safety in the hands of guys that always have to pee.
It's some kind of sick conspiracy, I tell you.
Yeah. So you went now. Did everyone else find out about it?
You know, they did. We get up at like 6 or 7. I forget exactly what it is. And I thought it was the middle of the night, so I jumped up. I realized what happened. I was freaking out. I grabbed my sheets on my bed, and I was going to like try to hide them in my locker or something.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I had them on my hand, my drill instructor comes out of his hatch and get online, starts yelling, and everyone jumps up and stands online. We got like 5 seconds, and I'm mm-hmm. just standing there with my sheets. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, my God, my life is over. And all three of the drone suckers went over, and they just started laying into me.
Well, I've seen
on your knees, scumbag!
I've seen enough movies to know that, you know, if your belt buckle isn't shining or your shoes look bad or your bed's not made and they can't bounce a quarter off it, you're in trouble. I could only imagine what kind of verbal ridicule taking a whiz all over your cot mattress would bring.
Yeah. You're so ugly, you can be a modern art masterpiece.
You would have to say that experienced drill instructors have seen it 1,000 times. They're just killing the guy to kill the guy.
I would assume. All right, we need to take a break. Hey, Dave?
Yeah.
Quick. I know that's horrible to yell I'm taking a break, but you did call in first, and I feel bad. You have something quickly to say?
Yes, sir. There was an announcement on Channel 7 News just this weekend that all apartment buildings and condominiums in the city of Los Angeles can get a recycling container. If the owner of the building calls, the city will come drop them off. It's done.
That's fantastic, and I see Mayor Villaraigosa yesterday on the news. He filled a pothole.
Yeah.
He's also, a few months ago, was talking about synchronizing the traffic lights, and the next thing you know, a short 100 years from now, we'll have compact fluorescent light bulbs in City Hall. Yeah.
Wow.
I know, and, you know, whenever somebody does these sorts of things that I've been yelling about for 15 years, on one hand, I want to go, nice job. On the other hand, I want to go, what is your job, and what the F have you been doing when you've been yelling at me to recycle for the last 25 years? So one part of me wants to be happy about it. The next part of me still wants to continue yelling about it because you've now decided to synchronize the traffic lights.
Right.
You've now decided to add a few more commuter buses to alleviate traffic. You've now decided fill in the blank like we talked about yesterday. Bloomberg bragging, mayor of New York, bragging that they were going to convert the city hall or the Capitol building or whatever it was or his office. They're going to convert it over to these compact fluorescents. You're doing it now. And by the way, the only reason you're doing it now is because Al Gore's got a bunch of press on it and the Dixie Chicks are singing about it. Why weren't you doing this 10 years ago when these bulbs were all over Home Depot? And what is your gig if not to set an example?
All right, wait, let me try and help you here.
Yes.
What have they done, actually done, whether it took them too long or not, that makes you say, all right, you did something?
What in our...
out of all the things that you complain and you rant about, recycling, pothole filling, synchronized lighting, the light bulbs...
What have they done
done on the good category?
I would say I saw a story on CNN this morning about after 9/11, a lot of cities following London's lead, installing a lot of these cameras in busy areas of their city and stopping a lot of crime. They're like linking the cameras up. They're following persons of interest, stopped a rape the other day, things like that.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. Okay. That I'm into.
And what is it that they're still far lacking and you've been yelling at them for 15 years and they've done nothing?
Almost everything else.
All right.
Well, so, I mean, Los Angeles is covered in graffiti.
Okay.
Constantly. And there's and it's trashy. There's a lot of garbage everywhere.
All right. That is perfect. So the good is the one you
well,
like
this isn't Los Angeles. I would say, I'm trying to think of the nicest thing I can say
good
about.
Good job about this. Why the hell have you taken so long about this? Rather than just continue to be the guy that's always mad. That somebody, somebody finally did something. And even though you've been railing for 15 years and they're late, they did it.
I'm trying to think of what they haven't effed up. It's not the school system. It's not the roads. It's not traffic. Maybe some little inroads in crime, violent crime, perhaps.
Okay.
Maybe it's not anything to do with the freeways or the traffic signs or meter maids.
Wait,
or
that Amber Alert thing.
That's pretty good.
That totally works.
All right, Amber Alert.
The Amber Alert was good.
Amber Alert is good. The problem is it's put all over signs that cost millions and millions of dollars, and that's the only useful thing they could think to have done with those signs.
Yes,
and those signs were there to alleviate traffic.
If it doesn't say Becky's been stolen, it says sign testing.
Right.
It's the only other thing it can say.
Actually, click it or ticket.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Is the Cannonball Run record holder on next, Brian? Ange? Yep. Good. New York to Los Angeles. New York to Los Angeles in about 30 hours.
We'll take a quick, my mind. Lots of questions.
Quick break. Talk to him next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Here's what's coming up this morning with program director Jack Silver.
What up, beeps? Today we're going to do What Can't Adam Complain About? We'll talk to Playboy Playmate Tamara Whitmer, musician Gary Kimmel, and from G4 TV, tech expert Kevin Pereira. Wow, who the f*** booked this sh-?
You did?
Only once this week. August, clear the books, and then fire yourself when you're done.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome to the show, Richard Rawlings. Richard broke the record for the Cannonball Run, New York to Redondo Beach, and he did it in a Ferrari, God bless you, 550 Maranello. That is the long hooded front engine V12 variety of Ferrari. He did it in one that was a 99,
right
here. And, God, that's got a beautiful sound to it, doesn't it? That Ferrari.
It does. It's a wonderful car.
Is it your car?
Actually, it's my buddy's, Dennis Collins. He was supposed to be here this morning, but, you know.
You drove with your buddy the entire way across the country.
Yeah, we took turns driving, and 31 hours and 59 minutes later, we were in L.A.
Well, now.
That's amazing. I mean, if you think of all the security at the airport you got to go through these days, park, shuttle, to the security, have something to drink, board the plane, get off in L.A., do the whole thing and get back out, you probably are only slower than a plane by about 10 hours.
Right.
You know, with all the things you got to do.
And what did, what is, you say, it says here that you use police scanners and jammers.
Well, we were
on board.
We were basically completely already set up to do the rally anyways. We were doing the Bull Run rally before we got in.
Now, what's the Bull Run rally?
The Bull Run is basically a seven-day rally coast to coast. Usually this year we were going from Montreal to Key West. And
nice.
It's like, you know, 7 days of partying your ass off and going from town to town and just ripping it up. But we were in Montreal for a buddy of ours, Jay Ricky, another team on the Bull Run made us a bet that we couldn't beat the world record. So a lot of people don't even realize that we not only drove the New York to LA, but that morning we drove Montreal to New York.
Gee.
How much was the bet?
How much was the crank?
It started to be 25,000 is what Jay Ricky bet us first. And I said, man, we were spending that being on the rally. And so he doubled it to 50 grand. And so we took that bet.
And the previous record is 1979. What was set in 1979? What was the previous record?
It was 32 hours and 51 minutes set by Yarborough and Hines.
In?
They were in a Jaguar XJS.
Really?
Yeah.
God, that's weird. That seems a British car, 70s, doesn't seem consistent enough to...
It just seems that you'd be breaking down a lot.
Well, did you guys not stop to eat, or how did you work the eating and the going to the bathroom?
Basically, there was no eating or going to the bathroom. We only made four stops. We had a fuel cell in the back of the car, so we were getting approximately 650 to 680 miles before we'd have to stop for gas.
You put a fuel cell where?
In the trunk.
In the trunk of the car.
Correct.
That held 25, 30 gallons?
It was an extra 24 gallons plus the original tank that was, you know, in the car.
About 20 gallons?
I think it's 18 or 20 gallons.
Right.
And so we were getting about 650 miles before we had to stop. So we only made four stops the whole way.
And did you get pulled over along the way?
We did not get pulled.
You never got pulled over.
That's the trick. I think that's the reason nobody's broke the record in 29 years. It's a combination of skill and luck and working all the equipment, knowing where you're going and getting in trouble.
How does the equipment work? And when, let's say, what was your highest speed, let's say, on the way from New York to L.A.?
170s.
170s. Whoa. And where was that?
Many times, just whenever the road was open.
Just whenever it opened up, you opened it up.
Yeah, as soon as we knew it was clear, we're out in the country or whatever, and we've got the GPS says we've got a 20 or 30 mile stretch without an exit, mm-hmm. we were gone.
So, and what did you use as far as the radar detectors and the jamming devices? Because you see these things advertised all the time. They've been around for 30 years. It's just no one can really figure out, do they work? And cops say they don't work, and then they make some illegal, and... Then there are those shields you put on your license plate that protect the radar beam from bouncing back to the cop and all that nonsense. They have sprays and stuff. What works?
The shields are BS, but I'll just throw the product placement out there. The Valentine one, that's the best radar detector on the planet. I believe you can only get it on the internet.
But I've always wondered, once that detects radar... Hasn't the radar detected you?
No, actually not. See, the Valentine 1 detects it even like instant arm. The cop's way down the street over the hill, all that kind of stuff, and he's hitting cars as they're coming, and you don't even know.
Oh, okay.
You know, and it picks that signal up before they ever even get to you.
Here's how radar detectors really work, because I got one. And you plug it into your cigarette lighter, and you put it on your dash, and you put your car in drive, and it starts going off.
Right.
And you start looking around, and you haven't even moved yet. And then you back down to the end of your driveway, and it goes off again because the neighbor's picked up a trash can lid. And then you get down to the bottom of your street, and it starts beeping again. And you never get a ticket because you never get over 28 miles an hour because the thing's constantly going off, and you have no idea what's going on. And you just find yourself fixated on this thing on your dashboard that's going off, and you'll never let yourself speed because it's going off all the time.
I take it technology has improved since Corolla's day.
Oh, yeah, since the days of the big KD-40 or whatever it was.
Right. It was a Heathkit. How dare you? So the point is, the Valentine one is the way to go.
That's the best radar detector. Of course, we had blinders and jammers on there also. I mean,
now, how did jammers and blinders go?
Basically, you order them and stick them in the car, and then you hope for the best. But we use the MX 430 Extreme, I believe, and the Scorpion. And they basically, there's one that jams anything that you get shot with. And
right.
Basically feeds back no signal. And then there's a blinder that just feeds back whatever. It'll say you're going 800 miles an hour, or it'll say you're going 2 miles an hour.
Now, there are certain things then... Well, I'll tell you what, we're running late. Let's take a break. I have these questions. Don't answer them now. Richard Rawlings is here. He went from New York to L.A. in 31 hours and some change. Set the Cannonball record. My question for you when we get back is, what happens when the cop finds the radar detector in your car? Is there a separate ticket? Is he confiscated? Is he legal at that point? And then as far as the jammer and the other devices that sort of affect the radar, when the guy sees that you've been going 2,000 miles an hour in his radar, does he know you have a jammer and go after you anyway? All questions we'll answer next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. Now more with Cannonball Run record holder Richard Rawlings on the Adam Carolla Show.
It reminds me, as we sit here with Richard Rawlings, I was in Europe, a bit of a car nut myself, at the Le Mans race in the Goodwood Festival, which Richard probably knows about. Many of you may or may not know, but it reminds me as I was walking through Paris, There's a great piece of tape called, I think it's called Rendezvous. And somebody strapped a camera on the front of a Ferrari Daytona or 365 or some 70s, late 60s, early 70s Ferrari, and drove it through Paris at dawn. I mean, it must have been about 5:30, 6 in the morning. It was just starting to get light, and the streets were empty. And it's all from the camera's point of view, which is strapped to the hood of this Ferrari, but you hear the beautiful melodic V12 humming along the whole time with the six carburetors. And this guy is flying down the Champs-Élysées, and he's flying through all the parts you know and have seen of Paris, and he's probably going 100 miles an hour the whole time, but there's nobody on the streets. I don't know if it was some sort of a Bastille Day, and it was Sunday morning after everyone went drinking the night before. I don't know what the deal is. They never, I don't think, found the guy. I don't know if you know, Richard, or if they found out where it came from. They probably would have locked the guy up if they found out who made the tape. But it's all over the internet, and it's kind of a cult classic. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah. It's one of the best pieces of film, I think, ever.
I don't know, it's 8-10 minutes long, something like that, and the guy literally makes a cannonball run through the city of Paris
at his knees
in a Ferrari going 100 yeah. miles an hour, and you're hearing the screaming of that V12 engine all the way through, and it's done in that kind of 70s grainy vibe, but it looks, it's got a little porn, got a little Euro porn to it.
I had an erection, I gotta be honest with you.
I don't know where would you find that, Richard, by the way? Do you know? Just go on the internet and go to like a...
You know, I think you can Google it or something, but I know that the local Lamborghini store in Dallas there, they have it on the... They play it on the wall.
Oh, really? Lamborghini playing a Ferrari videotape on their wall. So, Richard Rawlings, by the way, if you hadn't heard, set the record from East Coast to West Coast in a Ferrari. You and your buddy put an auxiliary tank on a 550 Ferrari and made it in 31 hours, 59 minutes, I do believe. Now, how do you document that?
Basically, because... It wasn't something that we set out to do that morning when we got up. You know, it just evolved into, you know, a few guys sitting around talking and, you know, one saying you couldn't do it and the other one saying you can. And so when the guys from the Bull Run realized that we were serious and we were going to do it, they sent a camera guy from Montreal to New York, and we drove down to New York and we set up there. We were already set up for the rally anyway, so we had cameras in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did a little piece there at the beginning. And the second thing I did was immediately called my wife and stuck her on a jet and had her fly out to Redondo Beach. The ending point is actually the Portofino Inn there in Redondo.
Right. You got a good woman there, by the way, because here's how my relationship goes with my wife. Honey, could you hand me that remote? Are you high? So I could only imagine how the honey get on a plane. I'm making another run in my friend's Ferrari.
Yeah, it worked out all right, though. She's somewhat of a computer genius, and so she programmed, actually, a small program for us while she was on the plane. We called her, like, every hour and would give her mileage and time. And she would say, okay, you're on track for this many hours, this many minutes. Slow down, speed up. I think that's one of the reasons that the record stood for so long is people were, they'd either go so fast they'd get pinched and it's over, or they'd get so far behind they'd never catch up and they'd give up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were able to call the wife, and she'd say, hey, you're on track. Just slow it down. Just keep it right where you're at. And so we were able to gauge that a lot.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, it's a delicate operation.
It's very delicate. She was also running the Google Streets and Maps and Microsoft Streets and all that kind of stuff and keeping us abreast of traffic.
That's a good woman.
Wow.
She's phenomenal. I wish she could hear me now, but she's out in the
You went with your friend.
Island somewhere.
Let me do another quick recreation at the Corolla house. Honey... I don't know how to do it. Do you think you could add a phone number to my address book in the Mac computer upstairs? Are you high?
This is what you woke me up for.
See, you're not asking the hard enough questions. You got to start with, can I sleep with your friends? And then when she says, are you high, work your way down to adding a phone number.
I understand.
Well, I'm curious about your trip with your friend Dennis. First of all, you only stopped 4 times. And how do you decide when to stop and where?
Only time we stop is if we need a gas.
That's it.
That's it. And literally, we had two tanks, and the stupid gas machines now, you give them the card, and gas has gotten so high that you can't fill up your tank anymore.
Right.
Because they authorize the card for like $75 or $100.
You know, our people argued with me over that, that doesn't happen. They said, well, you're making that up. I mean, no, they shut your card off. It was $50 like 6 months ago. Now it's $75.
Yeah, and so one would fill up, one would jump out and start filling one tanks and swipe the card, and then the other one would run into the bathroom, and then by the time they're running out, the other one runs in, finishes filling the second tank, and backs the car up. Literally, gas stops for like 6-7 minutes tops, and we were gone.
Had to be bizarre for the guy, who was working the filling station in bum F wherever, some small podunk town. A couple of guys come flying up in a black Ferrari. They both come flying out of the car. They grab two pumps.
Yeah.
It's like, one guy's dumping gas into the trunk, and his gay buddy, who's obviously high on cocaine,
he's
is dumping, and they just
jewelry.
Sped right off. They didn't want no coffee or nothing.
Now, did you and Dennis ever get in any disagreements? Because I would imagine it's very stressful.
It is very stressful. We didn't really get in any disagreements, but it got to the point. The last like 600 or 700 miles was real rough. The worst part of it was New Mexico, Arizona is where you're supposed to really make your time. It opens up, it's open roads, and New Mexico basically killed us. We were running an hour and a half ahead of schedule going into New Mexico, thinking we're fixing to just shatter this record. And New Mexico was the worst state of the whole trip for some reason.
Mm-hmm. How come?
I don't know. It was Sunday, and there were trucks everywhere, and then they had some kind of bridge closure in Albuquerque, so the traffic was just
to hit traffic.
It was unbelievable. So we lost an hour
faster.
And a half. Yeah.
Now, you think you could beat this record?
I hate to say that.
Record.
I mean, I think that I don't want to ever have to do that again.
Yeah, you wait for someone else to beat it, and then you beat them. So we're talking about scanners and jammers.
Yeah.
And that's not only name of a bar that Board Up Bill was at last weekend, but it's something you install in the car, and it's not a radar detector, but it'll jam the radar the radar guns of the cops.
Yeah, there's two kinds. There's one that'll jam it and basically give them false readings of any nature, and then there's one that actually just basically zeroes it out. And that's the funny one because, when you're going down the freeway and you're doing 100 and something, and there's one of those signs down there that says your speed is.
Right.
And you see all the cars clicking by, and it's like 75, 85, whatever, and then it hits your car, and everything just goes whoosh.
So that's how you know it's working. Yeah, they have all those digital signs saying slow down, especially here in California.
Well, you're going 2,000 miles an hour.
Now, how do you get one of those? Now, it's all internet business, or does that one have to be hardwired into your car?
They're hardwired in. Those we basically took the front grill out of the Ferrari and cut it all up and mounted everything in the grill. Those are hardwired, and you just have to trust them. There's basically, once they're on. There's no little beeping or little, light or anything else.
And do you activate that, or it's on when the car's on?
There's a button. You just turn it on. I mean, we took the entire dash out of the car, and we've got all of our CB and the amplifiers and all of our police scanners.
Kind of a bitch returning that lease, huh? The extra fuel tank in the back and the dash taken out.
Holes in the floor.
I like, these guys who, it's one thing if you do this in like, an old Camaro or something, but a Ferrari has such a international flavor to it. Who is this man? Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to marry your wife, and then I'd like to start dating this guy, Terry. What's his name?
Dennis.
I'll start dating. The guy who buys a Ferrari at $550, $175,000 car and starts pulling the dash out so he can put a police jammer in there. Who is this man?
He's a real good friend of mine. We've been friends for like 10 years.
How can I get his number?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is he cute?
I would have to say you'd call that your own. I would say you decide.
Know.
Let
you
me
know
say this,
cute.
Richard.
You know.
32 hours on the road.
If you want to marry my wife, if I can talk Dennis into it, he's got a little more money than my wife, so maybe we'll do the whole switch.
All right.
And let me say this, Richard. 32 hours on the road with another man without stopping. Whatever goes on inside that Ferrari, not gay once you get out of the car. It's like prison on wheels. I don't judge.
Right.
You're trying to focus. There's a lot of pressure. It's a very intense situation. Whatever it's going to take to get you to focus just a little more, maybe relieve a little of that tension.
Have you ever been 170 miles an hour on a regular freeway?
No, I've probably been.
If somebody was giving me a Who's It and I'm doing 170, I'm very concerned about speed bumps and stuff.
Good point. Yeah. All right. Well, Richard, you thumbed your nose at the man, and that's what we love about you. You've set the record. And what's next for Richard Rawlings?
I think I'm going to finish this whirlwind PR tour and go home and take a break, because I've been to L.A. more times in the last 3 or 4 weeks than I've been in my entire life.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
what do you do when you get back in Dallas?
I've got a hot rod shop called Gas Monkey Garage.
Yeah, I'm just on their website now. Mm-hmm.
They sell panties.
They built a bike for that guy from Green Day, Billy Joe Armstrong.
Yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm. So you built custom rods and bikes and things like
mostly
that?
Mostly rods. The bike was built out of desperation. Actually, one of the guys that works for me had a brand new Triumph, and one of the other guys that works for me wrecked it. So,
so you just put them together.
Yeah.
We built
custom hot rods. Mostly specialized in the old school stuff, the 30s and 40s.
Yeah, cool. kind of rat roddy stuff.
To a point, but I mean, I hate the word rat rod, because that's something, you know, that some guy put together in his garage, and it may or may not go down the road. Our cars are, I never put a car out that's not capable of 150 plus.
Really? Right. I need to talk to you. I got a 67 GTO convertible.
Yeah, right on.
That's actually still a Tempest. And you got to make it into a GTO. I'm going to kill myself.
But it's a four-door.
That's a two-door convertible, three-speed. Ready to go, man.
You run the Gas Monkey Garage, if anyone's interested in looking at what you do online.
Right. Thank you, Keith.
Yeah, plug it. Grab some merch.
Richard Rawlings. Again, personal hero, going from New York to L.A. in under 33 hours. We'll take ourselves a break. T?
Yes.
When we come back, the news?
That's right. Michael Moore and Wolf Blitzer got into it last night on CNN. Yeah. I don't know if you saw it, but it was insane. Michael Moore just went after Wolf, and I've got audio of that. And also, what's a good way to get a porno name?
It's funny. The entire time, I'm having a little brain aneurysm here, because when you said Wolf Blitzer and Michael Moore, I thought, boy, you take those two names, you can combine them and come up with a great porn name. You know, Wolf Moore.
Yeah,
Wolf Moore. Or Michael Wolf Blitzer Moore. Or whatever. But I was thinking about Wolf Moore.
That's pretty good.
I just thought, there's a great porn name, Wolf Moore. And then the second thing out of your mouth was, how do you
come up with a good porn name.
Interesting.
This should be good.
We'll take ourselves a break. We'll get the answer to that and many other questions next on The Adam Carolla Show.
And now, The Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
With a large amount of cheese, a cheese carver in Wisconsin is taking on a monumental task, creating Mount Rushmore out of a 700-pound block of Lancaster cheddar.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
T.
Yep.
Your news. Let's hear it, girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
As you may have heard, Michael Moore has a documentary out. It's called Sicko. It's about the American healthcare system. He's been promoting it all over the place. And yesterday, he talked to Wolf Blitzer on CNN's Situation Room. Apparently, he hadn't been back on that show since he came out with Fahrenheit 9/11, which Wolf Blitzer did not care for. They got into it. Here is Michael Moore on the Situation Room.
I don't talk in sound bites, so that report was so biased. I can't imagine what pharmaceutical company ads coming up right after our break here. But, you know, why don't you tell the truth to the American people? I mean, I wish that CNN and the other mainstream media would just for once tell the truth about what's going on in this country, whether it's with health care. I don't care what it is. I mean, you guys have such a poor track record. And for me to come on here and have to listen to that kind of crap.
Now it gets even worse. Let's hear a little bit more of Michael Moore's tirade.
The last time I was on, you'd ran a similar piece about Fahrenheit 9/11 saying, oh, this can't be true, what he's saying about the war, how it's going to be a quagmire, the weapons of mass destruction, you know. And why don't you start off, actually, with my first appearance back here on your show in 3 years, and maybe apologize to me for saying that 3 years ago, because it turned out everything I said in Fahrenheit was true. Everything's come to happen. Everything I said, I mean, I took you in that film to Walter Reed Hospital. And it took 3 years before you or any of the rest of the mainstream media would go to Walter Reed Hospital and see what was happening to our troops. So for me to have to sit here and listen again to more crap.
Lose the weight, chubby.
Well, I got to say, I went to Walter Reed Junior High in North Hollywood. If Walter
that was
Reed,
devastating.
If the food is one tenth as bad as it was over there. Those our boys deserve better than those fish sticks. I'll tell you that right now.
I went to Lou Reed High and just stayed high.
A walk on the wild side.
Well, yes, you'd think no one, if anyone is above reproach, it's Dr. Sanjay Gupta. Nobody
sure.
hates Sanjay Gupta.
Well, a couple things. First off, CNN, not exactly Fox. You know what I mean? I mean, I watched, 40 minutes of CNN this morning explaining what a disaster Iraq was and how the president's policies weren't working overseas. That's pretty much all they talk about. Right. So if Michael Moore's going to go after CNN, look out Fox and look out everyone else, because generally those guys are on the same page. Second thought is, it is funny that Moore got a little makeover. He got a little hair gel and they got some funky frames.
He looks good.
Except for the part where he's still morbidly obese.
Yeah.
So the funky frames and the hair gel are nice, but they're on the same pumpkin-sized mammoth head.
He's John Popper before the surgery.
Right. So it'd be nice strange. If he dropped a couple for his health, sicko.
Yeah.
And here's what... Now, Michael Moore's a passionate guy, and I agree with him. 68% of the time, although like most people have a point to make, they go a little bit too far, and then you go, oh, well, the guy's angry and obsessed, and it's the same thing that happens with groups like PETA and groups like whatever Al Gore is trying to do and all these groups. You go, uh-huh, oh, yeah, oh, no, I'm with you, and then they cross the line, and you go, oh, I see you're nuts. Now I'm not with you anymore. I'm going to have a steak and a cigarette. And I'm going to jump in my Cadillac and drive in a circle around my house because now I think you're nuts. This is what happens with the Michael Moores of the world. But I do realize if you're a Republican, this guy's your worst enemy because he's just out there. He's up there sniffing up the dirt. He's bringing it up and then he's making it in these really compelling movies and everyone is watching and they're not only buying the 68% of the part where he's right, but they're buying the other 22% or whatever it is where he's clearly wrong, but they're going along with it anyway. Here's what I would do if I was in the GOP or Fox News or any of these places to get Michael Moore off my back. I would hire myself a hot 22-year-old blonde and get this guy laid. Because the second this guy starts getting some consistent tail, he puts down the microphone, he puts down the camera, lights a cigarette, pops a wine cooler, and just starts chilling out. See, he's got a motor in him, and it's the motor of a guy who's not getting laid. I guarantee if this guy started getting some nice, hot ass, we wouldn't hear from him for the next 10 years.
Well, and then, and for, if you're going to follow that, then I blame women for everything.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Because if they start giving it up on a regular basis, and then withholding it, at the appropriate times and saying, hey, you know what? We'll give it back when there's food in Dufar, when there's this, when there's recycling. You can have some tail back. The world would be a better place. I promise you.
Yes.
But you guys give it up for dinner. Yeah. And don't let me talk you out of that.
I'm just saying.
I want your moons over Miami right now. But I'm telling you, you could run the world with your butt.
The boys over at the GOP get together. Everyone forks over a few bucks. We get a hot blonde receptionist. We send her over to Michael Moore's place. And he doesn't leave his apartment for another 5 years. And every once in a while, he gets up and he's like,
I should do
something. It's been 18 months of nonstop humping and drinking wine coolers. I'm going to Cuba to film a documentary. And she's like, you are? And you hear the zip come down. And
maybe not.
You just see the camera and microphone get thrown down on the sofa and the pants around the ankles.
You know,
he'd never leave the apartment. The problem is he can't get laid and he's angry and he's out making films.
They did the double entendre too. He put the mic in the stand so it's standing straight up.
Right.
Just so you know what's happening.
Right.
Well, I will tell you this. I actually interviewed him for my show on Deep Cable, TV Water Cooler. Mm-hmm. And I specifically remember thinking he is very charming and kind of cute. Yeah.
Really?
But I don't want to stop his
filmmaking.
But you're
a chubby chaser.
I'm a bit of a chubby chaser, but also, you know, he's passionate about issues, and he's gone out of his way to say that this is a bipartisan issue, that is to say health care, and that, you know, GOP and Democrats are both should be interested in this.
Right. And by the way, Teresa, you're not the right girl for him. You would inspire him. to make more of these documentaries, and then you guys would team up and go out together and
make
do it. Yeah. No, he needs a dizzy blonde who's like, where are you going? And he's like, I'm going to make a documentary. And, and she's like, okay, but you're going to miss Hey Paula. And he's like, crack me another wine cooler. I'm coming back.
Well, briefly before I get to how to pick a porn name and how not to, because a girl got in a lot of trouble.
Well, wait a minute. Do we have Sanjay?
Yeah,
do we have
let's
a tape
hear that.
Of him and Sanjay?
Well, here's what happened. He's talking about Sanjay Gupta. And, you know, these TV doctors, like, you know, the guy who's on Oprah and Sanjay, they're beloved.
Who's the cat that lost at American Idol?
Sanjaya?
Okay, never mind.
Different guy, dude. But close.
Mm-hmm.
But Michael,
same guy.
Michael Moore has no love for Sanjay and, in fact, blames him for a lot of
things.
And
he's the, Pakistani Dr. Drew. I mean, he's the nicest,
beloved.
Cleanest, cuttest, hardest working family man of a doctor you've ever met in your life.
Yes.
He was actually in surgery when Michael Moore was railing
absolutely.
Against him.
Yes, exactly. He couldn't defend himself because he was actually in surgery.
That's like heart in his hand.
Right.
Let's take a listen.
And it's a powerful, powerful.
I saw Dr. Sanjay Gupta over there embedded with the troops at the beginning of the war. He and the others of you in the mainstream media refuse to ask our leaders the hard questions and demand the honest answers. And that's why we're in this war. We're in the fifth year of this war because you and CNN, Dr. Gupta, you didn't do your jobs back then. And now here we are in this mess. What if you'd actually done the job on that? That's why anybody who hears anything of what you say now about universal health care should question what you're saying, what you're putting out there. You didn't do the job for us with the war. You're not doing it with this issue. And I just wonder when the American people are going to turn off their TV sets and quit listening to this stuff.
Where's the bag you're supposed to have on your face, fatty?
Wow. He looked good. He's lost a
he
few
does
pounds.
Bring it, though. God love
oh,
him.
Oh, he brought
it. He brings it.
And then at the end of the interview, Wolf Blitzer said, will you stay and we'll record more of this and we can play it tomorrow? And Michael Moore said, no way, you're going to edit me. And Wolf was a big enough man to say, whatever happens, we will run it exactly as it's recorded. So tonight you're going to see more of that interview and I'll play it for you tomorrow if it's any good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on to porno.
Yeah, okay, cool.
God's sakes, went far too long without discussing anything to do with vagina.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put
that's
a stop
a good,
to that.
That's a good name right there, more vagina.
Well, now, you got to imagine, if you're a young lady and you want to go into porn, you've got to come up with a name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how do you do it? You've probably all heard that thing. You come up with a porno name by getting the name of your first pet and your middle name. Have you ever done this?
I thought it was your street.
First street.
Your first street.
Making me Lancer Feliciano.
What's yours?
Mine would be Norman Houston.
That's pretty good.
That sucks. Dude.
Mine is Lynn Church.
Lynn Church.
Not bad. Well, this is what one girl did. This girl's name is Laura Madden. That's her real name. She became a porn star. And in ninth grade, she had a friend. Her and this girlfriend got in a little bit of a tiff, and they stopped hanging out. They've both been out of high school for 7 years. They're 25 now. And Laura Madden decided she liked the name of her former friend, her frenemy,
mm-hmm.
and that she was going to take that on as her porn name. It's kind of an unusual name. The name is Civette Wimberly.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So she became kind of a porn star. She was in 18 and Hitchhiking, North Pole number 56, 12 on 1 number 2.
Whoa.
And then, I hope I can say this, Young Cheerleader.
Sure.
So.
Oh.
No. I asked Paul Bryan before, he said it'd be okay. Let's just say she was in a number of porns.
Yes.
Some of them were hardcore.
And
now,
some of them come back to Capistrano.
Yes, mm-hmm. thank you. Now, the real Civette Wimberly is suing Laura Madden for invasion of privacy and emotional distress. She doesn't know why Laura picked her name, but, quote, I imagine she knew the name and thought it sounded catchy and was unique. Her lawyer is saying, on a weekly, if not daily basis, my client has to deal with odd phone calls, people sending her emails about whether she's now in the adult film industry, and just a lack of safety for her. Civette is also suing Vivid because this is a Vivid girl.
Mm-hmm.
I think she has a case.
I do, too.
Yeah, I do, too. It's you can't just steal somebody's very specific name and make it your porn name.
Yeah, it's a real specific name. Because they, I mean, even at the end of regular movies, they say, hey, if by chance this matched anybody's name, it wasn't about them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't think they bothered that at the end of the North Pole 12 and 12 on 1 number 2.
Right. I wonder if they
although number 1 wasn't that good.
I'm going to be a contract player for Cavaliero, and I wonder if this Duke Lacrosse name is going to cause problems.
I think it'll be okay.
All right. You okay. Know,
it's tongue in cheek.
All right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is an unusual story about Sprint. Now, usually Sprint and other phone companies, they're trying to get customers.
Right.
But Sprint Nextel Corporation is firing 1,000 to 1,200 customers because they're high maintenance. These customers called the company about 40,000 times a month in total, which means, you know, something like once a day or more.
Wow.
And so Sprint just finally decided, you know what? No, thank you. They're sending out letters telling these customers, they're breaking up with these customers.
That's neat.
I love
it. Saying, we've had it with you.
Listen, F offs, you pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Go ruin your, you know, your, that's what your relatives are for you to nag them into the ground and destroy their lives. Look, I heard this story on the ride in, and everyone, you know, gets outraged, like, wow, what's Sprint doing? They're running a business.
Yeah.
And you don't make any money off of people that monopolize your people. And this, by the way, is why the phone line's busy when you have a legitimate problem.
Right. Yeah.
Because these retards are constantly calling and needing extra attention. And for whatever $18 a month they're paying, it ain't working out. They've done the math. They run a business. F off.
Yeah.
I hate people who you could be in the ocean or on the top of a mountainside and they go to use their cell phone and it won't work and they flip out. My phone doesn't work from here.
Right.
Dude, you're in the middle of those high Sierras. What do you expect from life? Just yesterday you had to be in your kitchen to dial on that phone, and now you expect to be able to dial from the middle of the sea.
Absolutely.
They complain about everything.
And Sprint is so eager to get rid of these folks that they have waived their final balances on canceled accounts and given the customers 30 days to transfer their phone numbers to other providers.
Now you all know you're officially a pain in the ass because a company that'll bend over backwards for anyone's business. Hell, they'd love to sign up Charlie Manson from The Joint if they could for an extra $20 a month, has said, you know what? You're too big a pain in the ass for us. Hit the bricks. Now, all I ask is that those people take a good long look in the mirror as they read that letter from Sprint and then think, I wonder who else I'm driving insane.
Yeah.
Perhaps a family member, perhaps a neighbor. I guarantee these people are calling 911. Right when they're as soon as they're done calling Sprint, they're calling the cable company, then it's 911, then they're calling the neighbor. You people in general who are just out there to get in between other people and the lives they're attempting to lead.
Yeah.
Please kill yourself.
Or should you just have to register as an annoying person?
I would love that, and then I would love, my fantasy is to create, you know, other people think about a utopia. Hey, I'm gonna create, you know, a Disney-esque village that's free of crime, where the streets are always clean. It'll be a planned community where we'll have security and we'll have a golf course. It'll be Leisure World and a utopia. I don't think that way. I think of a neighborhood where all the pains and the asses that have lived around me over the years are forced to live next to each other and destroy each other. I want the C who lived next to me, my first house, to move next to the D that currently lives next to me, and have you two devour each other. Find out what it's like living next to you.
Wait a second.
That's what I want.
You would have an A, a B, a C, and a D.
I want them all next to each other.
Wow.
Although, if there are any double Ds, you can come on back.
Nice.
They're welcome.
You.
Well,
yes.
Speaking of double Ds.
I want these people to know what it's like to live next to one of them. One who picks up the phone and calls the cops, the building and safety department. One who's constantly coming over and saying to turn down the stereo or putting little notes when your bumper crosses into their zone a half an inch. If your car was parked, that person. When your car's parked out in front of your house and doesn't move for 4 days and they call the meter maid to have the thing towed. Oh, yes.
Oh,
it's happened to me. I want you people to experience each other, or we should just save time and you should kill yourself.
Right.
And I mean it. Just put a shotgun in your mouth and kill yourself. You're not doing anything.
Right.
You're not coming up with the cure for cancer or AIDS. Just kill yourself.
Release
Go ahead.
Society.
You're obviously miserable or you wouldn't be acting the way you act.
Just a quick caveat to that. Get a short-barreled shotgun. You don't want to be pulling the trigger with your toe.
Right. Good point.
You want to be able to reach down and do it with your finger.
The more you know.
The more you know.
Thanks, Dan.
Now, quickly, I want to get to the story because... Mm. You know, Danny was on a Hawaiian vacation while we were away, and
yes,
it went a little bit sour, and we're going to be hearing all about that shortly.
We are. Mm-hmm.
But yes, but I wanted to tell you this in case it makes you feel any better. The New York Daily News is reporting that Denise Richards and Richie Sambora, they went away on a Hawaiian vacation back in February, and the Daily News is reporting that Richie Sambora took Denise away to Hawaii and then blindsided her with a breakup while in Hawaii, and he took her there, they're saying, on purpose, to just to dump her. Very cruel.
I
disagree. Take her down to Compton and dump her. That's rude.
She thought she was going there, and he was going to propose.
Yeah, they're walking on the beach. It's sunset, and he dumps her. Well, I heard this story on the ride in this morning, and I was trying to sort of break it down. I think he went there, had an ass full of her after 3 days in the suite, and decided to dump her there. I don't know that he... I don't think that you would buy tickets a month in advance to dump somebody. Not only for them, but for you. Why the hell would you want to put yourself in that position? What happened was, is that thing that's happened to all of us.
Some of us yesterday.
Yes. Well, it's happened. We've been on both ends of it. It's that point where it's day number four of the vacation and you're out to dinner that night and you're just looking across the table and the person snorts one too many times when they're laughing and you just think, you know what?
I've had it.
And I wouldn't have had it because we never would have spent 4 days together. Right. We would have spent an afternoon together, and then I would have went to work, and then we'd have spent a Sunday together, and then I would have been gone the following week. Now 4 days.
Yes.
And there's some couples that don't spend a combined 4 days. It takes 2 years to get to that kind of saturation level.
Well, as I'm learning, a vacation can make or break you.
Yes.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news, today, Teresa Strasser.
Well, we have our own vacation story. We were talking about it yesterday, but it was real early. It's right about 6 a.m. Bonaducci went to Hawaii, and, well, somebody got dumped. We'll tell you that story. Also, I have a Hawaiian story. I went there with Kimmel on a second honeymoon some years ago, and he offended the bejesus out of a local.
Uh-oh.
I'll tell you what he said to this person to offend them so much. So we'll hear Danny's story. We'll hear my story, and we'll do that. Also, you can tell us, again, it's a can that we cracked open early yesterday, but it deserves revisiting. Your vacation horror stories. You've been dumped on the beach at some exotic locale, attacked by a grizzly bear, dysentery. What happened? We talked to someone who was going on a houseboat with his wife and his best friend and his girl. Turns out they were cheating.
Yeah.
Ends up leaving British Columbia and driving the houseboat from British Columbia back to their home in Lompoc.
Yeah.
Wow. You want to talk about determined.
Taking the,
I don't know. If I had to pick attacked by a grizzly bear or what happened to me in Hawaii, I'm going with the bear.
Well, I'm very nervous now because I have my first getaway with the new man planned. I hope it doesn't go
bye.
Sour.
All right. Enjoy. We'll take a quick break. We'll hear those stories in yours next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. Here's a crank call from the Crank Yankers Vault with Jim Florentine.
Thanks for calling A1 Travel. It's Jim.
I want to go to Hawaii. Yay! I want to go to Hawaii.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I do too.
I want to go to Hawaii.
When do you want to go?
I want to go to Hawaii. I want to go to Hawaii.
Okay. If you walk out the door, there's probably someone going to pick you up pretty quick.
Good. I want to go to Hawaii. I want to go to Hawaii.
When do you want to go?
I want to go to Hawaii.
Okay.
It's going to be great. I want to go to Hawaii.
Great. You can pick your time anytime you want to go.
I want to go to Hawaii. I want to go to Hawaii. Yay!
Okay. Is that all you got to say?
Yay!
Okay. Well, pick out your dates and we'll get you there.
I want to go to Hawaii.
Give me a call back.
I want to go to Hawaii.
All right, bye-bye.
I want to go to Hawaii. Yay!
We had to trim 18 minutes off that call.
I guess, yeah.
He just sat there for 20 minutes.
Yay!
Jim Florentine. All right. Well, Danny did go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
I went to Hawaii with Kimmel many years ago, and I'll tell you a story about him offending a local. But first, a little recap of Danny's visit to Maui, yes?
It's funny. We were just talking about Sprint, and I just used my little Sprint right here to text this wonderful young lady to make sure she was up listening and thought that my version of events is fair. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, it is, because I take full responsibility for being a huge ass. So I don't know how you could take umbrage with that. All right, so here's what happened. Mm-hmm. I went to Hawaii. And by the way, you know, I was so upset the other day when we got back. And that I forgot to include some of the wonderful things that happened in Hawaii. We ate dinner on the third floor, which is actually the roof of a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And you could look out over the ocean and see the lights twinkling and the boats bobbing in the harbor. It was really romantic. Crazy monkey sex. It was all good.
Mm.
Matter of fact, I actually brought porno with me.
Mm.
Just in case they didn't have porno.
Mm.
And I thought, because this beautiful young lady who has a tendency, which this is one of the things I absolutely love about. Normally, you would think dating such a young woman, she's 25. She had her birthday the other day. I got her.
You packed porn.
Yeah.
Huh.
Just in case they didn't have any. Because she's like, okay, I love you. Let's do whatever we should want to do that doesn't hurt anybody and sounds fun. She's like a totally blank canvas of what can we do that's fun.
That's why you guys like the young girls.
I don't know. Normally I like the young girls because they're like young and firm and this and that. I happen to just really like this girl, and she happens to be 25. She's a school teacher. She's real smart, and I just like her.
I got to say, I used to pack porn until I went to Canada, and I basically got my bag turned inside out by a 600-pound diesel dyke who pulled out an issue of Milking and Popping, and the shame I felt was so powerful. Could have been Gent. I don't remember. The point is the shame was so powerful, I've no longer travel with porn.
Okay. Switched cases.
You what?
I switched the cases. I didn't have anything that said porn on it.
Oh, I got it. So you had G.I. Jane or something, and inside was porn.
Oh, well, this was a magazine.
Thank you very much. I was thinking. Mm-hmm. I was also thinking about electronics, but I knew that they'd give me a whole
thing. What if they didn't have a DVD player?
They're this big. They have travel DVD. You plug it right into the main TV. But they had plasma flat screens. They had everything. Travel won't take care of me. I was I was like, God.
All right. So anyway.
All I'm saying is things were going so well, it never even occurred to me to break out the porn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it didn't seem like stuff could get better.
Mm-hmm.
There's acrobatics going on.
Mm-hmm.
And romantic dinners, and I had saved a bunch of money, so and my wife and I are getting a divorce, so the more money I can spend is probably better for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all sorts of ways to think about it. So I felt bad that I left that out of the story. We were having a lovely time. And I took her out snorkeling, and she doesn't know how to snorkel yet. It's a very simple thing to do. I said, it'll take you a minute, and then we'll do it. And it took her a minute. Sure enough, we're doing it. And we're doing it holding hands,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we're just going to see the same things together, just floating on top of the water, holding hands. Very romantic.
Were you smoking?
Smoking, just need a visual.
Actually, on the boat there, yeah, I was.
Mm-hmm.
You can sit on the back step. What are you gonna do? You know. So, while snorkeling, until I invent the right helmet, I will not be smoking.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get back, they collect our snorkels, and they put them back in. The second they put them in this barrel of disinfectant, I remember what my doctor, I just had throat surgery before we left.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the last things my doctor had said to me was, under no circumstances are you to get an infection in your throat while you're gone. Said you've got to take 4 of these antibiotics a day, but 3 won't kill you, but either will 5 or 6. Just if it crosses your mind to take one of these antibiotics, people forget, just take one. You probably won't take too many. That's my advice. My advice is 4 a day, but if you forget, just take one anytime you remember. So I go, okay, and I take it, and they're just a pill, which I can take, I can take lots of pills. It's a skill I've acquired. So I take it, I pop it in my mouth, nothing to drink. And it goes down sideways. It's pretty big. And I start to choke. And at first, when you choke, you're embarrassed. You don't want to ask for help. You know what I mean? You figure it'll go. It's got to go down eventually. You know, it's like trying to make it to the bathroom.
I think even if I choked and died and was hovering above my lifeless body, I would be embarrassed.
Right.
I would be looking down on my lifeless corpse that just choked out at the gathering of people standing around that going, isn't that Jimmy Kimmel from The Mam Show?
Yeah.
And I would be looking at me and I'd be going, Jesus, this is embarrassing.
Yeah.
I would be, I would never ask for help. I would just die if I choked on something.
That's exactly what happened. I never asked for help. I became so obvious I was given help against my will. Not against my will, but I never asked. People just started pounding on my back going, are you okay? Put your hands up in the air and, you know, excuse me, slapping me on the back and doing all stuff because I was turning colors now. I'm really seriously choking. And I'm trying to make the I'm okay gesture while dying.
Right.
And this guy just says, here, drink this. And I grab this glass and I just chug it all the way down. And it gets down. And the fill goes down. I go, oh, thank God. And I started to taste the drink and I went, hey, is there alcohol in that drink? And they said, yeah. Yeah, there is. Not much, by the way, because they don't want to get their crew just all wasted, but they're weak drinks. But still,
right.
I haven't had a drink in well over 14 months, which is the first thing that crosses my mind is, damn, does that count? Do I have to start at day one again? Mm. But the second thing that crosses my mind is that I take medication, especially on vacation where they sell tropical drinks with umbrellas in it, that turns alcohol into formaldehyde on contact.
Mm-hmm.
So there have been people that have been known to die from drinking on this anabuse. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll become violently ill at the very least.
At the very least. And violently is the right word because you, once you're done hurling, you shake and twitch so badly, like anything around you, trash cans and stuff on the floor, which is where you're spending your time, are getting smashed and kicked. I mean, it was awful. Awful. Mm-hmm. But finally, I get through it. I get all the way through it, and I think, oh my God, thank God I am through that. And I'm having kind of a moral crisis. Do I really, when I get back, do I tell everybody this happened and start counting again? Do I have to go to a meeting and say, when they say, is there any newcomers here with less than 30 days of sobriety, do I have to stand up?
Mm-hmm.
And I think technically I do. Even though it was accidental, I think technically I do.
I'd say you should get a pass.
I'd give you a half a cake.
A half a cake?
Or half a chip. So, or whatever you get.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't get to... It doesn't... becomes moot.
Look, if you're walking down the street and you're hit with a dart filled with whiskey, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
It's volitional. Do you volitionally take this? You know, is it, it's premeditated murder versus manslaughter in my in my mind. You didn't do this on purpose, and thank God... It wasn't what happened to me when I was taking a pill at the hospital and starting to choke and reach for a nurse who had a tray and was walking past me. Urine sample.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That is
bad. Hand to God. And about the third one, I said, no. I said, Ace, this, I don't know what kind of Gatorade or sports. No. Hand to God, T. Hand to God.
And did you say?
Hand to God.
Is this?
Hand to God. Like what people keep saying. God is my way. Hand
God
to true story.
God.
Hand
to God.
God. True story.
I'm not making this up.
40 gallons of urine before I left that hospital. Hand to God. True story. Hand to God. Go ahead.
Then it dawns on me that I take the anabuse, and I started taking it much more regularly. I hadn't taken it in 6 months, but I started taking it when I got the job here.
Hold on. Hand to God?
No, hand to Teresa on this
Teresa
one.
Teresa handed that one.
Nobody believes me.
I give it to him every other day. Hand to God, Adam.
Because I figure no one's going to believe me. Now, I can say anything and no one will believe me.
We talked about the half-life of antabuse.
Quite long.
Right.
And, 60 hours.
Half-life is how long it takes for whatever it is you took to get down to sort of half through you.
Right. Like if you take a Xanax, for example, that has a short half-life. I think it's about 4 hours.
Right.
It's in and out of your system.
But there's some medications that are in there for days.
Right. And this is one of them.
Right.
Right. So I take it every other day when I'm here. Teresa gives it to me. And the only reason I do it is because when Gretchen asked for a divorce, I didn't want one. I started crying and not sleeping and looking bad. And I thought somebody's going to say, what's happening to Danny? Have you seen him? He looks awful.
We say that anyway.
Right, but at least you know it's not because I'm out geezing every night because you're giving me my pill. That was my smart. And I think that was smart, actually.
Sure.
I mean, people will believe, Teresa, if I can go, no, I haven't been drinking. I've just been up all night crying. And they'll just say, yeah, sure. But if I say, ask Teresa, they'll believe her. When I go on a vacation to a tropical island, I double up. I take one every single morning.
Mm-hmm.
So the drink goes down, the pill goes down. I think, does that count? And then I think, oh, Jesus, I just took one of those pills 5 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to die here? And it's going to be a horrible death in my own vomit death in front of these people. And I make it to shore, and I'm starting to feel my face burn. Mm. And I get into the bathroom, and I'm sick for a full day. And then I get up the next day, and I'm well. I'm like, I made it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when, this is where it goes really bad for me. I said, Amy, my dear, who I love and adore, you know, we're on a tropical island. We go home in 2 days. Can't I just have an umbrella drink with you? Just one down on the beach.
Because it doesn't count if you're off the mainland.
And is she drinking herself?
Yeah, Amy drinks.
I was just picturing for some reason, I'm sure you stay in a lovely suite. Thanks lovely suite. Friends over at Travel Worm. But I'm just picturing the poor couple from Indiana that showed up next after you'd cleared out. Well, what happened in this room? Well, first, Bonaducci had monkey sex in every single corner of it, and then he died in the bathroom. But we're going to throw in a free Spectrovision for you guys, a complimentary continental breakfast.
He left out the violently ill before dying.
He got violently ill, and then he passed away. He's still in the tub. We put a towel over him. It's tasteful.
And you know when people die, they go number two.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Too late for that.
So you want to have yourself a smart cocktail down by the pool because you're on an island, you're on a vacation, you already puked your brains out. You
I've
got
already
the
technically
out.
Had a drink, even though I didn't mean to. I've technically had a drink.
Yeah, you feel like, well, I
what
might as well keep going.
And the enemies, I must admit, it's no substitute for being a, you know, a true non-drinker, but it's magic. You can't drink. That's it. Game over.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just start taking it on the plane home, honey. Let's just have one drink together. We've never had a drink together. We've done everything else. Let's have one cocktail together. And she says, no. And as I said, she has a very serious relationship with alcoholism that is bad, bad. You know what I mean?
Somebody in your family was drinking
to a point where it affects everybody's life around them,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So not like mine where I'm kind of acute drunk and then sometimes I get mad and it's whatever it happens to me. So I go, I'm going down to the beach and I'm ordering a drink. If you come with me, that's fine. She comes down and I've just gotten a Mai Tai and she said, you have to know the parameters by which I will live and what I'll accept and I won't. I'm looking at this 25-year-old. She's talking to me like that. I'm thinking, well, it's probably wrong to crack her in the head, but can you spank her? Can I spank this child talking to me like this?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I won't live with this at all. If you take one sip of that drink, I will leave this island. And I looked at her and I said, really? Because what 25-year-old school teacher working for, you know, grinding out a living, who won't turn on her air conditioner when it's 1,000 degrees because of the electric bill,
mm-hmm.
is going to leave her free trip to Maui with the man she claims and I do believe loves? Mm-hmm. She's not going to do it. She's going to whine a little bit.
Yeah. So she goes, you're calling her bluff.
Yeah, I'm calling her bluff. So I said, really, if I take one sip of this, you'll leave Maui. Yeah, I will. I'll leave the island right now. So like, I couldn't believe it. So
because he has his dignity, raised the 40-pound hollowed-out coconut with the 9 umbrellas in it, the swirly straw. And he took a chug
bastard, how do you know
of
that
maybe? Drink. And he held his head high.
It's actually worse. He got me over nothing. I took the pineapple off the side of the glass.
The garnish.
Yeah, the garnish. Mm-hmm. I'm left over a garnish. And I dip it in the drink. And I go, and I suck on the pineapple. I go, there. Does that count?
You're making me hot.
I'm going to try it in for you. I dip the pineapple in and I go.
Slow down, dude.
Yeah.
Well, the question is,
does that count?
Was she bluffing or was she serious? And we should find that out when we come back.
Ah, T, that is a lovely.
Good.
Oh, somebody,
Adam, radio.
Somebody around here knows radio. Well, there's a couple good things coming up. I'll tell you how Kimmel offended one of the locals when we were over there playing golf some years ago. We have some of your calls up here. Got sick went to a witch doctor.
Oh, no.
Me.
Oh, boy.
Girl's boyfriend threatened him, and he had to hide the entire vacation. And stopped by a man with an AK-47 in Jamaica.
Nice.
We've got a lot of good phones on tap, too. So we'll finish these stories up next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. Still talking about vacation horror stories, and we'd love to hear yours at 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, Danny has his to finish. I have mine to tell you quickly. I do want to talk to AJ from Seattle. AJ?
Yeah, Adam.
What's your story, brother?
Hey, this happened over 2 years, so I'll just tell you the highlights. I was with this girl in South Africa. I went to South Africa and I met her, and she had a really jealous boyfriend. I didn't know how jealous he was, but anyway, I kept seeing her, and one day he found out that I was seeing her. He caught me in the street, and him and his friend were about to jump me. I ran into a police officer and told him about it, and the police officer said, "Oh, well, you've been kissing his girlfriend. I'm sorry for you," and just walked away and left me with the two guys.
I do like that frontier justice.
Yeah, me too, man.
Yeah.
But, Adam, it gets worse. So he called me at the hotel. The girl gave up my hotel information after he terrorized her for it. He told me if I ever got near his girlfriend to try to contact her again, he said he'd effing murder me.
Did you go to South Africa to hook up with her, or did you just meet her while you were there?
The first year, I just met her while I was there, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you went back to visit her.
And then I went, over the year, I kept in contact with her. I went back to visit her last November.
Jesus. And if a chick lives in Anaheim, she's out of range for me. I can't imagine.
Check this out. About 4 days left in my vacation there. I'm walking down Cape Town, and I'm in one of the art galleries. And I asked this guy about a question. I asked him a question about an art picture, and it happens to be the ex-boyfriend. And
oh, really?
He recognizes me.
You run into the guy.
Oh, and he tells me, "What are you doing here? I told you I'd murder you." And I'm shaking. I'm asking people for a taxi, and I'm really shaking here. Mm-hmm. And I end up calling. He knows where I was staying. He knows where the girlfriend lives. So I had to call the embassy, and they put me up. They took me out of town for the next 4 days and hid me out in the YMCA.
Did they have some sort of puss pass they give you at the embassy?
But did he have a weapon?
Not there, man. I was saying I couldn't. I'm in South Africa, and I saw how the police handled things last time.
I do understand when you're in your hometown, you want to call the cops, but you feel like when you're traveling somewhere else, the cops are on their side, or there's a little frontier justice that goes on. Obviously, the cop didn't help by telling you to good luck with the burning tire. I'll be over here. So, but still, AJ.
Yeah.
You do sound like at least half a puss.
It's true, man. I'm sorry.
I mean, did you have to borrow tampons from your girlfriend, or did you just buy them?
How dare you? He uses a pad.
How dare you?
All right, AJ.
Sorry, AJ.
Hey, AJ.
Yeah.
Now you're back in Seattle doing something with computers, perhaps?
I'm from Van Nuys, actually. I went to Notre Dame High School right by you.
Right
by
What are you doing in Seattle?
He all manned up all of a sudden once he was from the Valley.
AJ, what are you doing in Seattle these days?
I'm actually visiting friends and helping my uncle stain his deck. I'm just up here for a little
bit. You know, you gotta stop
staining his deck with tears. You woman. Look, hey, AJ, do you have a girl now?
No. Oh, the same girl.
Okay, because eventually you guys will break up.
All right.
And when you meet the new chick, don't relay the story about wussing out in South Africa.
Right. Just
put a little Bonaducci-esque spin
absolutely.
On it. Don't do that thing where it's like, I went to South Africa because I met a girl and I flew 9,000 miles so I could finally have sex. And then her boyfriend showed up and he was like 140 pounds. So I started crying and I plastered myself and then I hid in the embassy and masturbated and cried. And T, you would meet you. It would be like someone pouring kitty litter into you, right?
I mean,
how fast would you dry
an
up?
An emotional apartheid.
Yes. Yes, it would.
Yeah, all right. So he walks up to me and he says, I saw you with my girlfriend. So I said, I'll murder you. So I just, boom, dropped him in one, bitch.
Right.
There. That's all you got to say. You're good.
There you go.
Practice that. Let me just hear you say it.
Hump the girlfriend and then humped him.
Let me just hear you say it. Bang, dropped him in one.
AJ?
Yep.
Try it.
Let's see if we can...
A little tough guy talk.
Maybe a little Bonaducci-esque talk on this one.
That's good. You're going to go far.
I'm hot right now.
You're
going to
go far.
Dropped him in one.
So let's try it. AJ.
Yeah.
So what happened over there in South Africa with that girl and that boyfriend of hers?
He tried talking smack to me, and I dropped him in one.
Nice. Right. I believe you. But right. It's the words were right.
Yeah. The stammering didn't help, but
you gotta actually look like you could do it.
Let's try it one more time, AJ.
This time you might want to make a fist and actually punch your other hand when you go boom. And that's and make that sound
yeah,
so you look like you hit somebody.
In.
Okay, ready? Ready, AJ?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Hey, what happened over there in South Africa with that girl and her boyfriend?
I dropped it in one.
Yeah, but now you're too abridged here because
yeah,
now
we needed the bang.
I need the point where the guy came up, started talking yeah. smack, and so you dropped him one. Yeah. Let's try it one more time, AJ.
I'm
you
not
ready?
Gonna work. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, but if you'd gotten it right 10 minutes ago, you'd be at work by now.
He sells Percy.
Hold on, you went to Seattle to help someone stain a deck. You got to be at work.
Decks don't stain themselves.
You have to be drinking a Fresca and cutoffs on someone's porch.
I wish you weren't a liar.
All right, AJ, let's try it one more time. Are you ready?
Yeah.
So what happened over there in South Africa with that girl and her boyfriend?
Boyfriend and his friend got me around the color and swung at me, but I dropped them both. Dropped them in one.
Okay.
Listen, AJ needs his toaster
off. Have fun.
Thank you.
Have fun polishing your deck.
Yeah, and be careful. Don't break off one of those acrylic nails while you're using that roller. What a wuss.
I know.
T.
Sad.
You hate, chicks hate stories of wuss, do they not?
Well, you know, it's... Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
you would hate
wussy.
That story.
There's a fine line. There are women who really like the idea that you, as a man, so I'll use this in the first, that I make them feel safe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If they're walking down the street at any time under any given situation, they feel safe if they are with me.
Yes, I wouldn't like
but
something
they don't
violent,
like
but,
is if they feel unsafe when you're alone with them.
Right.
Right. I've never
if
had
you're
that.
You're so yeah. off the hook that walking down the street, no matter where you are, you're safe.
Yeah.
And then you get that guy in the privacy of your own home and you realize, hey, dude, I just felt safe with this guy walking down the streets in Compton.
Yeah.
And
right.
now he's in my room. They don't like that much either.
You feel safe with Tyson at the club, but
right.
not in the hotel room.
Exactly.
All yes. right. So, Danny. We're at the beach in Hawaii.
Yes, I was.
You've yacked the antabuse right out of your system.
Which
now,
is horrible. My stomach still hurts like I've done hundreds of sit-ups.
You're going to defiantly take a drag off a hollowed-out coconut with some rum in it.
I do not like the way I'm being spoken to by essentially... Aside from the fact that, you know, we're traveling together and looking at condos, you got to take that out of the equation. She's young enough to be my daughter. She's 25. I'm 47.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a kid at 22, and I may have, I've mm-hmm. gotten some notes,
mm-hmm.
She could be my kid.
You could be raping your child, as it turns out.
Consensual.
Right.
Consensual rape.
I quite looked at it that way. She does have red hair, though, but
I look at it
comes
that
out
way.
Of a bottle.
All right.
As does everything else on this trip.
Right.
So she says, yes, if you take one sip of that drink, those are, you know, these are my borderlines. These are my rules. These are what I will and will not take.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go, okay. And so I just dip the pineapple in the alcohol and suck the alcohol out. I'll do this for you one more time.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I said, there. Does that count? And she says, yes. Just that catch. Turns on her heels and go, and I don't follow her because I followed her. She actually referred to me as a puppy once. She did in a cute way. She was being loving, saying, I think it's so cute the way you follow me around like a puppy. And her house is, you know, the size of this room. There's not that much place to follow her. But mm-hmm. I do, you know, I'm a talker and I don't like to be here out of the room. So I wasn't about to be a puppy dog again. I didn't like it, even
Hold
though
on.
She had
What's
said
that you saying about being a talker?
Yeah.
I'm trying to picture that, too.
I'm chatty. And this girl wants to live with me.
I think you're sort of a stoic, silent type.
I've tried to warn her off. I say, I know, visiting me in spurts is really fun, mm-hmm. especially in the spurts. Mm-hmm. But you really don't want to. I'm like this all the time, and I never sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But she still thinks it's a good idea. So when I get back into the hotel room, she is gone, and so is her luggage. And she starts texting me, and her flight doesn't leave for 8 hours.
Hold on, is the porn left behind?
I got all the porn.
Good riddance, bitch.
No, it's
sayonara.
But I didn't cave either. We come back. Don't do this. I understand. She would text, no, I have to do this so you'll know that I'm not joking. You can't push me this far. This is what I will take, and this is what I won't. What I did know, and this is an interesting caveat, I get home. I see my wife last night. I didn't feel very well, and I live in the basement. And she came downstairs, and I was telling her the story, which she already knew. Amy had called Gretchen and said, Danny's going to go have a drink. What should I do? And she said, get on a plane right now.
From the hotel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. My wife just said that with a big snicker on her face.
Well, how do you feel about that?
I think it was, depending on how it was described, if she thought I was going to, like, start drinking again, then that's that. You can't get on a plane fast enough if I'm going to relapse, and that's going to be that. But she told my wife told her, she said, it took me 17 years to realize I had my limit with this guy 17 years ago. She said, tell me your limits right now. I don't know that she actually said, to get on a plane and never come home. She said, set your limits right now or Danny's going to push and push and push and push and see how far he can make you go.
So
let him know right now, this is all you'll take.
She goes to the airport, texts, you guys do a little texting back and forth. And while she's waiting for the plane, she eats 27 Cinnabons and then gets on a plane and heads back to the States without you.
Yeah.
But Danny, did you ever think...
By the way, it was the 3rd of July. It might have been the morning. Right. No, it was the 3rd or 4th of July. And I watched fireworks in Lahaina, sitting in a tree by myself. I was like, my wife's leaving me.
Don't
all my money's
me say
gone.
Partridge in a Lahaina tree.
Yeah, I'm sober because I've decided. Okay, she was right. I'm in a tree in Lahaina watching the fireworks on the 4th of July, thinking at home I'm getting divorced and broken up with all at the same moment.
You didn't want to bury yourself in booze at that point.
Totally. But that's what I figured I would do. That's what I figured got me in trouble 100 times. Yeah. I thought, fight that instinct. I hate to go on slogans, but there's no problem a drink won't make worse.
Right, then you'd have two problems.
I'd have been on flights, or I'd have been in fights, or I'd have been with hookers, or I'd have been, you know, who knows.
But you just went back to the room and stared at that mini bar.
And the porn.
There was no mini bar.
Oh, really?
Enough, they just redone it. There was a mini bar, but it was completely empty.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But, I mean, drinks were everywhere.
Because they talk to me, those mini bars.
They say,
what do they say?
They talk to me, too.
I'm lonely. I miss you, stud.
But the problem
over
was...
here and crack me up.
I'm so little.
I thought...
Just one of me won't hurt you. Hell, I'm cute.
Wow, nothing. It's like you're in my head, bitch. It really is. No, the thing is that I thought, honestly, in all sincerity, that if I'd have lived life by any rules at all, because nobody wants that much from me. I just go too far for axe murderers. I have a tendency to step over the line. Nobody wants me to completely behave. And if I'd have done anything right along the way, I wouldn't have had this problem with Gretchen. And I can't be 47 and not have learned a thing.
Yeah.
So I fought things. I thought, don't do this. Go back. Get the girl. That's the girl. Go home. Get Amy. See what, if she'll be, you know, receptive, by the way. I didn't have time to write her a little note to slip under her door this morning, but Gretchen had brought a brand new cheesecake last night, so I grabbed it and left a cheesecake in front of her door at 4 o'clock this morning. That counts as a note.
Yeah.
I wrote "I love you" in it with like a butter knife. I wrote "I love you" in the cheesecake and put the lid back on and put it in front of her
door. Don't get is you're such the king of the romantic gesture. I can't imagine that in 8 hours you didn't want to swoop over to her at the airport in Maui and convince her not to go.
Well, he was...
She was going. That's why. Because I'd have lost.
Yeah. And I'm still thinking about that minibar talking to me. We got to get a minibar in here.
Dude, there were chicks there and everything. I was so not myself.
You know what keeps me out of the minibar once it starts talking? Because the booze starts, you know... I'm just a little cute thing, a Grey Goose. Come over here and crack my seal, big boy. And then I start getting closer to it, and I hear, hey. And I'm like, who's that? I'm the Snicker Bar, bitch. And I'm like, huh? I'm $9. And I'm like, oh, good Christ. You've not been with the Grey Goose. Hell yeah. I'm $9, bitch. And I'm like, okay, I'm going by the pool. That's what happens.
I'm going to go jump rope.
You know what talks to me? That little bag of little cookies. We're so little. We're just little cookies.
Yeah, one at a time.
Just a little bit.
Only $4 a piece.
Then you won't be so lonely.
Wow, you guys are weird.
You don't have the mini bar talking to you, do you? Come on. It was weird.
When I'm by the pool.
Chicks, private parts. Talk
to me.
Says, you know, I can go to any liquor store and get what's in you, but down by the pool, ladies, private parts, they're laying out there sunning and it's going,
just look over here. Look over here at me.
Oh, really?
I'm looking at you.
Yeah. Got to get them together with the Snickers bar. Tommy?
Yeah?
You have advice for Danny?
Well, I just a couple things to put into Danny's head.
Thanks, because I need more voices in there, bitch.
Yeah, okay, bro, check it out. Me and you probably went down the same path. Yours is a little rougher than mine. Hey, let me hand that to you. But on the boat, on the dive thing, what was the intent? The intent was not to take the alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right.
The intent was not to die.
With whatever reason behind it, the intent was not yours. Your idea to take that drink wasn't, there's alcohol in it, I want to pound this.
Right.
It was something that, and the time, this could save my life, and you did it. Okay, you got your chip, you got your cake on that one. Now, sitting with your girl, what was your intent there?
To get all drunk and boner.
Wait a second, Tommy's got a point.
But Danny, what are you looking for in your life, bro?
Not to have to talk to people like you for any great length of time. I mean, I know you have the best intent, but...
That's all it is, bro. And my intent is to, you know, hey, you got a lot going for yourself. You had a beautiful lady with you.
Tommy, are you a sober guy?
I was for 15 years, and every time I do pick up a beer, I kind of think to myself, is it worth it?
Well, it's a bigger question, and, you know, sitting next to Dr. Drew, I can already hear
what his answer would be.
Which is no way.
Yep.
Or then, you know, this sort of catch 22, well, then you were never really an alcoholic.
Right.
But is it possible for a guy like Tommy to be sober for a number of years and then just sort of chip away with the Miller Lite and spin out?
No way.
You say no.
Eventually it's going to spin out.
Tommy, can you do it?
I don't know.
Well,
it's a question that I look at every time I pick up a beer. But I also have to think that all it takes is one time, one mistake.
But hold on, you say every time you pick up a beer, so you are doing it. I mean, you're drinking a beer and you're keeping your job and you're not beating your children, right?
No. I see, like me and Danny, we didn't drink to do the social thing. We drank to just get crap-faced, if you will.
Right,
you
but know, are you sober now or not?
My thoughts are sober.
Do I drink?
Yes, I do.
See, it took me forever to realize this because as I've made such a big deal, I'm not late for work. I don't show up disheveled. I'm ready to go and blah, blah, blah. The point has come or had come where I didn't think I could continue to work and earn a living and be a social human being and drink alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I thought, 2 days on Hawaii, probably not the brightest thing ever, but my plan would have worked.
Right.
I'd have just done 2 days on Hawaii and then flipped that anabuse in my mouth on the way home, and it would have all been a fond
but
memory.
But then
it's
always, well, today it's my birthday, or today we're getting married,
or
it's Tuesday.
I'm not a Tommy where I think someday I'll be able to do this. At no time will I be able to drink like a gentleman. Those
I would work trouble in the Middle East.
Right.
Gotta raise
these
a glass of that.
These benchmarks aren't being met.
That's right.
I need a drink.
Well, I was...
It's a bitch to get a drink in the Middle East.
I was in Maui... or one of those islands with Kimmel some years ago, taking a little golf vacation with the ladies. And while we were, it's funny, neither one of us even really likes golf that much. We just thought, hey, it's beautiful. I mean, Maui's beautiful enough. You got to see what the golf courses look like, for Christ's sake. We were playing a little golf, and there was a heavy set Samoan gal there, and Jimmy was explaining to me that the reason that the Hawaiians love Spam so much is that they used to be cannibals and it tastes like human flesh. And I thought, the more you know. And then I thought, well, that sounds offensive. And he didn't. And so he went up and he was speaking to the heavy-set Samoan woman.
As opposed to all those skinny Samoan women.
Yeah, not those waif Samoans you've seen walking down the catwalk so many times. This one had big calves, shockingly. And he shared his hypotheses with her saying, isn't it true the reason you guys devour such large amounts of spam is because taste of human flesh? And that's something that your forefathers were used to devouring. And she was very offended by that, as it turns out.
There is no racial bigotry here.
Said, no, we're just stupid. That's why we like spam so much, son.
Ah.
No, she didn't say that, but I think she was thinking that.
I think it has something to do with World War II rations. I'm not positive, but that's what I think.
Either way, there is a correlation between spam, Sunny Delight, and IQ that one day I'll go ahead and get to for you guys, and it's not going to be flattering for those of you who are currently washing down your spam with some Sunny D.
I think I'll be all right for once.
We need to take ourselves a break. Oh, hold on one quick second. I know I keep doing that, but Randy?
Yeah, I'm here.
You got stopped by a man with an AK-47 in Jamaica?
Yeah, I was in Jamaica in 1987 with my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And back then, it wasn't like it is now with all the hotels and all touristy.
Right.
So there would be a billboard that you would see all over that would say, you know, be kind to tourists, which was kind of scary in itself.
Right.
So we rented a car and we were driving around the island, and it said, a lot of the billboards also said, or the information they handed out said, don't take side roads. So that's what we did. We took a side road.
Sure.
Bono was driving through a banana field. Guy jumps out in front of the car with an AK-47, had the, you know, the bullets across, like a bullet vest.
Mm-hmm.
Shot a couple times into the air, then pointed the gun right at me.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, thank God I'd been drinking. Otherwise, I probably would have had a heart attack. Hand started shaking a little bit. And then he just steps out of the way and starts laughing like it was a big joke and waved us on.
Where were you, or where were you? Think he was growing pot or something, and you were driving through his field, or where were you?
Well, I found out later that from some of the locals that what they do is the banana trees evidently grow higher than the marijuana.
Oh.
So when you're driving down the road and you think you're driving by banana trees, you're actually driving probably by marijuana.
Mm, so you were driving through his pot field.
Marijuana in Jamaica. Imagine.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah,
that's not the Jamaica I know. Well, good times there, Randy. You escaped. Yeah, you have a good story, right?
I mean,
you escaped any harm, and you have a good story.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You can tell though that not everybody loves the Americans. I was caught with you. This was 1987, so I was called Skippy and Ronald Reagan for 11 days.
Yeah, they hated us for a while.
Skippy from Family Ties.
I guess.
Or is it Boner? Well, it could have been worse, I guess.
Yeah.
We're going to take ourselves a break. When we come back, what can Adam complain about?
Nice.
That's right. Everybody load up those phone calls. 866-901-ADAM. You know how the game is played. You come up with something, and I will figure out a way to complain about it. You guys have been really good lately. I think the last one we did was 2-ply bathroom tissue.
Yeah, photosynthesis was there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
You guys are getting too hip for your own room. What can Adam complain about? Stump the Master. Next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. It's time for a little What Can't Adam Complain About.
Adam, you cannot possibly complain about photosynthesis.
I wish there was a way we could shut down photosynthesis when we've had enough. My gardener was cutting my hedge. And it seemed like only yesterday I was staring at the hedge yelling, grow, damn you, grow. Then I blinked my eyes and it is strangling and raping my wife. And I think, please stop growing. The problem is plants are in two modes for me. They're in, hey, why won't you grow? And then they immediately go to, hey, quit growing.
What can't Adam complain about? Find out now at 866-901-ADAM on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, to be fair, when I did Loveline, I did that for like 11 years, and all I did was complain about photosynthesis. So I was sort of preloaded for that one, yeah. No, I'd never complained about photosynthesis before, and that's why I like being challenged, because I feel like I'm the MacGyver of complaining. I can take anything and turn it into something.
Yes, for those who don't know, and Danny, you weren't here then, but it all began when Adam ordered a Ferrari from eBay, and it was late.
What?
And he had many complaints. about his Ferrari not being on time. We thought, what can't Adam complain about?
It ruined a weekend for me.
That's how it began.
I stood there staring out of my window waiting for a semi-truck with my Ferrari in it to pull up for 3 days straight, and I never stopped complaining the entire weekend about my Ferrari not showing up. And yes, that's when we realized I could complain about anything, and thus far have not been stumped.
No, I don't believe that you have.
Well, let's see if we can keep my unbeaten streak going.
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
All right. Let's start with Jay. Jay.
Hello?
Jay, topic, hey, please.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Love the show.
Thank you, Jay.
Adam, this is from one father to another. How can you complain when your kids are screaming and crying and whining? And they finally go down for a nap.
The kids going down for a nap. Well, it's tough to complain about the nap itself, but there's a byproduct of the nap, which is being shushed in my own house. Now, Bonaducci doesn't like to be told what to do when he's on a beach in Maui, and I hate being shushed in my own house. Now, I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I like to talk, and I like to express myself, and I'm on the phone in the next room, and I'm being constantly shush. My wife's like a wet shush blanket that hangs over my head because the kids, who sleep for 19 hours a day, need to make it to an even 20. And by the way, what do they need to be fresh for Monday? Hey, Monday they got a nice day of crying and crapping themselves, and then they're going to take a fifth nap. They have to be fresh for that. You don't want to see any bags under their eyes while they're crapping themselves and spitting food up on me and going for another nap. So then my wife shushes me, and then I get offended by the shush and start talking louder. Then she does the most condescending thing, which is, we need to have this conversation outside now, so I'm going to take you out, I'm going to shush you, and then I'm going to yell so the neighbors can hear. I don't give a good goddamn who's napping. I'm talking on the phone, and I need to express myself. Plus,
wow,
the kids realize, I realize the kids have my affliction, which is sweaty head. When they wake up on the nap, especially in the middle of July, and it's the middle of the day, and Sonny wakes up, his hair looks like somebody took a handful of Dippity Don't and rubbed it through there. I mean, the kid's head really, really, literally looks like a water drop comes up high. He's got sweat, flop sweat dripping down his big bucket head, and I go, oh. Not only have I passed on God knows what other horrible genes, but the first thing I gave the kid is the sweaty head, the Corolla sweaty head. So sad. All right, let's talk to Shelly. Shelly?
Hi, how are you?
What can't I complain about?
Butterflies.
Ah, butterflies. Ah. Oh, what's wrong with butterflies, you ask? They're so beautiful, so majestic. It makes me think about society. When you get up on a butterfly and you really examine a butterfly up close, they're just insects. They're just like anything else. And I don't know what they do. I assume they eat our sweaters and our plants like every other insect. You know, all insects do is basically eat crap and leave little droppings around. But we hate cockroaches. We hate silverfish. We hate spiders. We hate all kinds of insects that, to my knowledge, do nothing wrong to us, or certainly nothing more than a butterfly, or nothing worse than a ladybug, but we've decided those are aesthetically acceptable. Thus, you would never crush a butterfly. You saw a cockroach run through a house, everyone would be diving on it, trying to stomp on it. You see a butterfly go through and someone stomps on it, you want that person arrested.
Of course.
You're an animal. Why? I have no idea, other than one, we've decided it's not aesthetically pleasing, thus it needs to be smashed. The other one is probably in your closet right now, eating your sweater, and you could care less because it's a butterfly. Hey, I'm going to get a tattoo of that baby on my chest. You don't see anyone with a tattoo of a silverfish?
No, almost never.
Or a cockroach, and if you did, I wouldn't want to mess with that cat. Dude's got a cockroach. What are you going to do to him? He's already got a cockroach tattooed on his back. I don't like what it says about us as human beings, because we don't limit that to the insect kingdom. That moves into the animal kingdom, and then eventually it moves into human beings. We see an ugly one, and it's like, hey, you fat pig, why don't you go on a diet? We get very evil and snarky, and then the beautiful people, well, they're the butterflies. Papillon is what they call it in Paris. Papillon, the beautiful butterfly. We give them a pass. I don't like what it says about me or you, Shelley. Thank you.
Wow, nicely done, sir. I must admit.
All right, let's see. Let's talk to Zach on line 7. Zach?
What's up?
What can't I complain about?
All right, I feel I got a good one. You cannot complain about Joey Chestnut whooping that punk Kobayashi and bringing home the crown to the state.
Right, Kobayashi wins the hot dog eating contest at Coney Island 6 years running. Unbeatable until Joey Chestnut comes around, breaks the record, and breaks Kobayashi's heart with 56, I believe, hot dogs consumed in something like 12 minutes. Well, first off, why 12 minutes? Make it 10 minutes or make it 15 minutes. What the hell does 12 have to do with a hot dog eating contest? But number two, Joey Chestnut was on the show last year. He was also on the show a few days before he whooped Kobayashi's ass over there at Coney Island. But we haven't heard from him since, and I know the story. Oh, he's doing coke right now. He's in the back of a limo. He's got hookers. He's the great Joey Chestnut, the man who beat Kobayashi in hot dog eating, and we'll never talk to him again. He's like some celebrity that was a good buddy of yours growing up. Now, he's got himself all inflated, thinks his poop don't stink, and we'll never talk to Joey Chestnut again. So, I'm happy the crown is staying here in the United States, and I'm happy an American won it. But Joey Chestnut, I fear, will never be on this show again.
I felt that half of that was about Joey and half was about Molly Ringwald.
You're right. You do read between the lines, Bonaducci.
Yeah, yes, I do.
Eric, while he's doing them. Eric.
Hey, Adam.
What do you got for us?
Can you complain about thumbs?
Opposable thumbs?
Yeah.
Can I complain about opposable thumbs? What separates us from the animal kingdom? Well, yes, I can, and here's how. The pressure that opposable thumbs puts on you as a species is tremendous. You know what I mean? You see animals that don't have an opposable thumb. You see a squirrel or an iguana. There's no such thing as a lazy badger or snake or dolphin. You don't look at them and go, hey, what'd you do today, dude? You hung out? All animals do is nap and we give them a pass. What do? Well, they find some shade because it's hot in the Serengeti, and they make a big pile, and they just nap all day. And then they get up and eat, and then they go back and nap, and then they do a little raping, and then they nap again. Does anyone give them? Do you think they have a stepdad who comes in and goes, what have you been doing all day, son? You've been napping. No, you need to do nothing because you have a paw. You don't have an opposable thumb, but when you have an opposable thumb, then what? Oh, you have to create.
Absolutely.
You better make an airplane. Not good enough. Not with the propeller. You need a jet aircraft. Whoa! You need a rocket ship. Hold on! You need a shuttle. Wait a second! We need a satellite. Hold on! We need to explore. You understand what kind of pressure that is? And here's what the opposable thumb gets you, seriously. You get yourself a little iPod phone. Well, the next thing you know, you're texting in places you never could text before. You're working while you're on the toilet. You're working while you're on vacation. You're sitting in the airport, and you're having a business meeting, and you're texting back and forth, and you're checking the internet. Where does it end with the opposable thumb? How much can we get done in a lifetime? How fast can our opposable thumb take us into the future? And to what end and at what cost? So we all just ignore all the simple things in life and we use our opposable thumb to invent technology that keeps our opposable thumb busy for the next 50 years? Well, I'll tell you something. I'm going to use my opposable thumb. I'm going to stick it in the air and I'm going to hitchhike right off this planet. Thank you. Powerful. Powerful stuff. I like when I label my own stuff as powerful.
Someone's got to.
All right. We need to take ourselves a break.
That was What Can't Adam Complain About?
Wow, this is a nice segue into the iPhone.
Yeah.
But seriously, bigger picture, people. All we do is invent things to get more things done faster. And the plan used to be, well, instead of... Hold on, I got to talk for a second. The plan would be, instead of taking all your dirty clothes down to the river and banging it against a rock, which takes you the entire day, we're going to invent a washing machine. We'll put the washing machine in the lady's house, and she'll have time to enjoy herself instead of being down at the river, because the washing machine only takes an hour, doesn't right. take 9 hours. Well, that didn't work out, because we wanted her to stay busy for the other 8 hours.
Right.
This is what we're doing to ourselves. We keep coming up with technology that's going to free us up. It frees us up to do more work,
yeah.
to get deeper into the technology. Slippery slope. Where does it end? Kevin, I think it's Pereira from G4. He's the tech expert from G4. Channel the Man show's on. Kevin's going to be in here. He is going to shed some light on this. He's going to talk about the iPhone.
My friend just bought me one as a gift, and it has not come in the mail yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Ooh, I don't even know what it does. And everybody flipped out when I said my friend bought me one.
Well, we're going to try to figure out what it does,
some
what it does
love it,
well.
Some people hate it.
How it works. Jimmy has one. He was rubbing my, showing it to me the other day on the 4th of July. Seemed pretty cool to me. He'll come in. He's also going to give us some tips on how to maximize the TiVo, which for me is always interesting. So we'll talk to Kevin next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. Here's what not to watch on TV tonight. At 6 on Hallmark, don't watch Straight from the Heart. A New York photographer and Wyoming cowboy prove that opposites do attract. Featuring Andrew McCarthy and Greg Evigan. At 7 on the Golf Channel, be sure to miss For Inventors Only. Inventors of self-designed golf equipment compete for a retail contract. And at 9 on the Speed Channel, definitely don't watch Classic NASCAR, a full rebroadcast of the 1989 Daytona 500. That's what not to watch. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Ah, I want to welcome Kevin Pereira, host of Attack of the Show on G4 every weeknight, 7 and 11. G4, I probably wouldn't have known about it, except for about a year ago or so. They started re-airing The Man Show on G4, and now I turn it on every once in a while. It seems like a pretty cool station.
Yeah, we're, you know, if you were an 18 to 34-year-old male, our logo would be burnt in on your television set, ideally.
Right. Yeah, G4 is sort of Spike TV, but I would say thinking man's Spike. Ooh. Or a techier Spike.
I think that's an oxymoron, but yeah, we'll take it.
Well, Spike started off as sort of dude TV, and then it just turned into stupid dude TV.
Right.
And I don't really mean that in a bad way. It's just, you go there to see dudes getting their heads smashed in.
Car flips and kung fu.
Right, is why you go to Spike, and G4 is a little more the tech-savvy man. Yeah,
we'll give you the car flip, but we'll tell you why it's exploding while it's in midair.
And you push a button, and the kung fu guy's head just explodes, and you don't have to get out of your chair.
It's interactive, Danny. That's
I
right.
Like that.
That's
yeah,
right.
And what your show, Attack of the Show, what's that about?
It's sort of like the Today Show for guys, if you will. It's a daily variety show where we cover internet, pop culture, the wacky videos online. We'll tell you about the new iPhone. We'll tell you about the new cool social dating site online. We really cover it all.
Well, let's talk about the iPhone, and then we'll get to my beloved TiVo.
All right, let's talk about the iPhone.
I'm watching a commercial now of one above your head.
And it's turning the internet sideways.
Yes, and I'm playing with Kevin's iPhone right now. The most fun thing is when, first of all, the interface is amazing.
Yes.
And the photographs look amazing, and they write themselves when you turn the phone.
And I like how you buff the screen to get my greasy fingertips off of it as well, which is nice. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
You know, it's, Adam, do you have a StarTAC? What kind of cell phone are you rocking right now?
I got a square one.
Does it have a color screen? That's my goddaughter there, actually.
It's made of trio, okay. I don't want to say it's old, but it's made of cat gut and twigs.
Let's just say it's going to the phone museum when he's done
with it. I see that. I see the string attached to a tin can on the other
end. Yeah, I want the iPhone because I have a Mac at home and I feel like it's going to help me. Like I have a little head start. I know nothing of computers. I'm not tech savvy, but I've been hanging around the Mac for a couple years and I think maybe that's a head start toward the iPhone. So first question is if you're a Mac guy versus a PC guy, are you going to get the iPhone quicker?
I think absolutely. I recently switched as well. I'm now a Mac user, and when you pick up the device within 15 seconds, you get the pretty icons. You get the way things are laid out. It's very Mac friendly. It's all about the user experience. Mm-hmm. You know, Danny's Trio can do 1,000 more things than this iPhone, but it can't do them half as sexy. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the defining difference of the iPhone.
A lot of people are saying you should just wait until the next generation comes out.
And I was and probably still am one of those people as well. I have to get it to talk about it, obviously. But it is lacking some serious functionality. However, for the next 2 to 3 weeks, if you want to get laid, this is the phone to have. There's a window of opportunity that's closing.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I took out the iPhone in a meeting the other day and sat it down and looked across the table and noticed another iPhone. And it was almost like rival dogs competing for territory.
Yeah.
Because there can be only one iPhone.
The alpha dog uses the iPhone.
Yeah. It's called an iPhone, not an us phone.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Like the condescending people at the end of the statement. Yeah. You know, it's a philosophical thing that we all have to sort of get over, and we've been getting into this as of late on this show, which is I have the same philosophical thoughts when I think about the latest car. It's like you want the newest, coolest car that's coming out. And then somebody taps you on the shoulder and says, you understand the first one's going to be filled with bugs. The next generation will have the bugs worked out. And by the way, you'll be able to find this first one used with like 3,000 miles on it, still under warranty in 9 months to a year for 10 grand cheaper. And you think, you're right.
But what's
the point?
Yeah. I gotta be the only guy on my block driving that Yaris for the first 6 months.
Right. You wanna be what's called an early adapter. The first person, which is with each thing.
But the answer to you're gonna be able to get that iPhone just like you can now get a DVD player for $29, whereas there were $2,900 in 1986. Yeah, of course. The answer to any technology is wait 100 years, get it for free.
My grandfather's still waiting to adopt Betamax, though, because of that philosophy. He maintains one of these days someone will pay him to own those cassettes.
Yes, but here's the problem. It's nice if my phone has a great interface and if I can go online, if the pictures look vivid. But if it just doesn't work well as a phone, the complaint is that you have to have a certain service with the iPhone.
That's the thing. AT&T owns you. They're your new overlord once you pick up the iPhone.
I don't want AT&T. I don't want to be their bitch. Mm-hmm. If I don't like their service.
Well, unfortunately, that's the price you have to pay. 2 years minimum to sign up for the iPhone. You're locked into their plans. It's their commitment. They were the smart ones who locked down this device.
Wait. You're losing me. Because my Trio, you say, will do more than that phone.
Yeah.
But I can't make my Trio do anything but make calls, take calls, and text.
That's all I can do. And why is that? Is that because you haven't read the 6,000-page manual that comes with that phone, or because the phone seems to crash every time you launch any application?
No, it just doesn't. Like, somebody will say you have new picture mail, and I'll touch the thing, and it'll say view picture, and then nothing comes up.
Right. It'll probably try to connect you to the internet and reroute something.
So it doesn't
then Homeland Security shows up at your apartment
things.
And swoops into the window.
Right. It does three things.
It does do more than that. This phone, the beauty about this iPhone is that it's all easy to do. Like, Teresa in just 5 seconds loaded up the camera. She's snapping photos.
She took a picture of Adam and of Danny.
Well, there you go.
Now, the next step. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin. You know
You're
better
wrong,
than
Adam.
I. But it seems to me that the first step was a sort of bragging sheet of how much whatever technology could do, how much your TV or your car or your whatever, but now it's how much of it can you utilize?
Yeah. Right.
I remember, again, speaking of cars, BMW came out with like the iDrive system or something in the 7 Series a few years ago. It did everything except for no one could figure out how to work it while they were driving the car. Right. And the whole thing about time, all these devices are invented to save us time. Thus, we don't want to spend a bunch of time reading
learning
a manual.
How to use it.
Right. So,
well, this is definitely the washing machine to the stone that is the Trio, if you're using the cleaning of the clothes analogy.
Well, Kevin Pereira, can we ask you this? You say you're married to a certain service with the iPhone. I have a question. My cell phone in Los Angeles, the service in Los Angeles, it feels to me like it's worse than any place I've ever traveled to.
It's non-existent.
I own, and this is no exaggeration, I own three houses in the Los Angeles area, and my phone does not work at any of my three houses,
right.
Nor does it work when I cross La Brea over Beverly. It drops out through every canyon, and everyone always jumps in with an excuse. And by the way, you people that are making excuses for companies you're not involved with, please shut up.
Thank you.
I don't need you talking to me about the topography of L. Well, you understand there's mountains. Yeah, no S, Sherlock. I understand it falls out every time I drive through Laurel Canyon, but it's not a mountain range that goes any higher than 80 feet above sea level.
You're not trying to make a call from the Appalachians.
Right.
You're
what
Beverly
is the
Hills.
Deal? Like, people don't use their cell phones
what's more
in
frustrating
Los Angeles?
Is I'll be in the middle of a conversation and have to call somebody back 15 minutes later because there's a dropped call thanks to the giant billboard that Singular has saying they have the nation's least dropped calls, which happens to be blocking their ounce
better.
Of a signal.
Who is
Some
the best? Who do you think the best is in Los Angeles?
It all depends. You know, I had Sprint for a little while in L.A., and I was able to make a phone call from my couch if I stood on the edge of it, angling my head towards the zenith.
Yeah.
That was with Sprint. T-Mobile seems to be very solid.
I have T-Mobile. It's excellent.
Yeah, I've had more drop calls with AT&T, though.
AT&T,
despite...
I had to break up with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I can't get this
iPhone. Was it at least
iPhone.
A clean breakup?
No, I had to take 3 months off get my head together.
Some personal time. What is it, now, again, like, what is so different about Los Angeles than any other city I travel to where the phone works just fine?
This is the one city where people want the excuse of, oh, my cell phone was out. I'm sorry, I didn't get your call.
Maybe we're clinging to it.
Reception was terrible, sweetheart. I'll call you later.
Adam, let me ask you this. Do you text message on your phone?
No. I did have a plan. I think my fingers are too fat. I did have a plan.
Pepperidge Farm fingers.
It dawned on me while my phone, I live up the street from Jimmy Kimmel. My phone does not work where I live. It drops out at a certain stop sign when I'm driving home to my house every day. And if I want to continue the conversation, I have to pull over by the stop sign waiting to get carjacked so I can finish the conversation. If I roll 5 feet forward, it drops off. I had this idea that I thought was brilliant. I was sitting in Kimmel's house staring at his fake Christmas tree last year. He
this
swears
is in July.
By it. Yes. Staring at the fake Christmas tree, and I thought, if this was one of those cell phone towers disguised as a tree, they put palm fronds and stuff on those things, then I would be able to get cell phone reception up in these hills. As a matter of fact, if everybody who had a fake Christmas tree just had it heated up by the cell phone company, they could pay for that fake Christmas tree, I'd get my cell phone reception.
And testicular cancer.
And testicular cancer, and we go right through the canyon without uninterrupted phone calls.
I think that is a genius idea.
Thank you, Bonaduce.
I am a big text messenger now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, first of all, it's one of the great ways for me to write to people without spell check, because you can make up your own language.
Yes. Right.
Any words, any letters that even sound like a word are perfectly accepted.
Mm-hmm.
But our lovely guest, Kevin, also text messages. You want to tell me about Julie?
Oh, no. You broke into his phone?
Let's not talk about
Heard
Julie
Heard Adam
right
mention
now.
Your name on his show this morning. Woo-hoo. Good luck, sweet pea.
Well.
But then, of course, we jump on down to Melissa.
Thank you, Julie.
If you want to go to lunch.
No, let's go ahead.
Then jump right down to Samantha, who misses you at the gym.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Dude, is it Julie?
What did
is it
you
Samantha?
Have this to me
it's
for,
that,
you ass?
And I'll tell you what. This all happened because of the iPhone. Not a single one of those women knew me or cared until they saw I had an iPhone. They just wanted to see their name appear
it's
on
a
the color
lightning
screen.
Rod. Well,
I mean,
obviously,
Julie actually says the words "woohoo."
Yeah,
you got to have Julie.
The boys over at
Julie's
G4.
She's going to love you for that.
Boys over at G4 can find the G spot. Kevin Pereira, everyone, host of Attack of the Show.
And
we're
a whore.
We're going to take a break.
You're so trusting to just hand your phone to us.
Enjoy. I can't wait to look at the photos later.
I have questions for him about TiVo. I want to know the shortcuts. I want to know the tricks. I had the TiVo for 3 or 4 years before somebody said, well, no, what you do is you fast forward, and then when you hit it for the fourth time, it'll jump back and stop. You don't have to hit pause and then restart again. And I was like, my God, you've changed my life with this bit of information. I want to know more. I want more TiVo tricks. We'll talk to Kevin about that and much more in the tech world next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, I just wanted to call you guys and let you know that I've discovered people I hate worse, or things I hate worse than road bikers, is road races, foot races. What is with these people that F up traffic for the rest of us? Do they want to get a little exercise? Well, go run in the goddamn park or take your bike to the goddamn mountain, but don't ride on my road and F up traffic for hundreds of people because you want to get a little exercise.
Give us a call at 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
She's talking about the road racers, the guys who ride the bikes in the lanes. Is that what she's talking about?
I think so. I think she's got a lot of guitar. Time on her hands.
The guitar was too loud. Huh? Nice job, Dawson. Yeah. By the way, what happens when you're stoned?
I'm looking at some mail here, and it just says, my iPhone is the effing best. Look at it, Teresa. Am I making this up?
Yeah, no.
I'm watching porn on it right now while emailing you, while getting stock quotes and talking to my girlfriend.
One-handed operation.
Kevin Pereira here from Attack of the Show G4 every night, 7 and 11. The tech guy, but not the nerdy tech guy.
No, although he's legitimately a nerd.
No, don't let this veneer fool you. No. I'm a huge nerd.
He started an internet service provider when he was 14.
You're that nerd.
I thought you were going to say, don't let this veneer fool you. I'm not a nerd. You don't look like a nerd. You look like a guy.
Oh, well, thanks. I appreciate it.
We were going to talk a little iPhone. We're going to talk a little TiVo. I wanted the tips. Jeremy from Las Vegas has a question first, though. Jeremy?
Yeah, Adam, what's up?
What's happening?
Love the show.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Kevin, I'm a big fan of Attack of the Show. Olivia's super hot. I was wondering if you had any inside information on E3 today. What's going on?
Oh, tons of info. This is this week is E3 week. It's like the Super Bowl for nerds, except it lasts 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And some major announcements coming out. Sony's dropping the price of their PlayStation 3 by $100. Microsoft is going to announce a similar move, a new IPTV-friendly Xbox, which means you'll be able to play games and watch television on the 360 as well. So,
oh, wow.
They're going to start today with press conferences, and we're covering it all at 9 o'clock tonight.
Now, where is that out of?
The E3 itself, the event is out of Los Angeles. It used to be at the convention center, mm-hmm. and it was open to thousands and thousands of people. There were booth babes everywhere, and it smelled like Clearasil and body odor. It was fantastic.
Sure.
Now it's
a heady mixture of Clearasil and body odor.
Just permeating the convention center air. But now it's down to Barker Hangar over at
Santa Monica Airport.
Yeah, yeah. So
a great place.
That whole area is cut off, and it's all the major companies spending millions of dollars wooing the Walmarts and the Best Buys of the world, convincing them to buy their games and put them on the shelves.
So what do we not know about how to use our TiVos and DVRs?
I think the biggest thing, Adam apparently didn't know how to jump back to the beginning of a show, which was interesting. Or what was the move?
I learned, what I used to do is I would fast forward.
Right.
And I would go forward like 3 bars and moves at hyper speed at that point. And then I would try to time it and hit pause.
Right.
And then I would rewind. I didn't know that if you hit it a fourth time, you could go forward 1 speed, second speed, third speed. And if you hit it a fourth time, it would stop and jump back like 15 or 20 seconds.
Yes.
That I didn't know for a number of years.
The TiVo tries to guess what it is that you wanted to press play on. Did you ever notice that? If you fast forward past something, the show starts, you hit play.
Right.
Tries to rewind a bit and you end up watching the last half of that Verizon commercial or whatever it is. Yeah, the pause trick is the way to go with that. But the Slingbox is what I really was going to talk about here. I don't know if you guys used, are you familiar with?
I have no idea what it even is.
I bought my agent that as a gift last year. I'm sure it's still in the box, but who cares? I can check it off the list.
You know your agent's address?
I know my assistant's name, and I told him to mail it to my agent.
What is his name?
God.
My assistant's name?
Yeah.
I know him as Boy.
Sometimes Dilly.
And the guy breaks in my shoes. Yeah, but the Slingbox, well, I'll let Kevin do it, but it's you taking your TiVo on the road, yes?
Yes, or anywhere, absolutely anywhere. And they have a new device now. It's like the Slingbox Pro, high-def compatible, and it's Trio-friendly as well. And that means whatever media you have going to a TV, whether it's a DVD player, your TiVo. If you don't have a TiVo, let's say you have your regular cable provider's DVR box, your satellite, anything, it feeds it, squeezes squeezes it through the series of tubes that is the internet, mm-hmm. and it pops out on the other end on a cell phone, on a computer, wherever it is you want it to be.
So you take it, for instance, I went to Europe a few weeks ago, and there was nothing on TV. I mean, it is just like bullfighting and guys speaking German, and that is it. I would love to have had a nice full bank of TiVo shows to get caught up on. I could have done it.
Absolutely. On your laptop, on your cell phone, any device that has a screen and is pretty much internet capable, you could have watched all the content that you have back home, even scheduled new recordings, deleted other ones, or just really pissed off the roommates or the wife by changing the channel when they're trying to watch soap operas.
Well, how no way. How yeah. does it?
You can change the channel remotely, so you're not stuck to watching what was there. You can actually click back in, adjust the volume. You can control
any
device.
How does it physically work? I get the thing. I'm taking it out of the box,
right.
the sling blade
gnawing
at my house.
On the plastic, trying to figure it out.
I get into boxes like raccoons get into dumpsters,
yeah.
basically. So I've chewed through the box.
Right.
And now what do I do with this thing?
You finish snacking on the packing peanuts.
Yeah.
You then take this...
And a little salt packet that keeps the moisture out.
And you
so
got to pour water on it in the kitchen sink so that it expands and explodes and the clean lady has to deal with it. You take the translucent red box... You slap it on top of your television set, and on the back it's going to have HDMI ends, component ends, basically any type of video signal that you can feed from a device like a DVD player or a TiVo. You plug into this sling box, then mm-hmm. using wireless internet if you're set up as such, or by plugging in a wired Ethernet jack. Basically, you're connecting this box to the internet and connecting all of your media devices to this box, and that the box is going to compress all the video and send it out over the internet.
Now, does the box hold a certain amount, or is it just a conduit to get to an infinite amount?
The box is the conduit that connects the other devices to the internet.
Uh-huh. So essentially, you're saying that the next vacation I take with my wife, I can sit in the room and watch my beloved TiVo?
Yes. You can ignore her in a multitude of ways.
So I can
on
just,
the cell phone,
just pull
laptop,
the drapes,
anywhere.
Just put the foil up on the windows... Throw the old lady out of the suite, and I can just be left alone like Howard Hughes, rotting with my TiVo on the next vacation. Honey, pack your bags. If you're listening, pack your bags. We're going out of town.
Can you watch the shows
you woke me up for?
On the iPhone?
That's not something you can't do on the iPhone just yet. Apple has not released the development kit so that software developers out there can make applications for it. They want you to make them over the internet. Now, there are workarounds. There's other programs that you can run. They're not Slingbox approved.
Mm-hmm.
So it is possible if you want to spend a pathetic amount of time
How
making it work.
How much is that Slingbox?
The Slingbox, a couple $100, $200, depending upon which model you get.
Am I the only guy in the whole world that thinks you're speaking Russian? I don't know what you're talking about.
No, you're not.
I'm not?
No,
well,
you're not. That's why if you tune in every day, you watch the Attack of the Show, we'll teach you.
I would learn really seriously.
Absolutely.
I don't know how to do any of this
stuff.
Yeah,
we'd show you exactly how it works, why it works, you know, explain why you want it, and then actually show you how to hook the thing up.
Well, Kevin, from your mouth to God's ears, Kevin Pereira, host of Attack of the Show G4 every weeknight. 7 to 11, or 7 and 11, and then I think somewhere after the 11 o'clock show, the man show may pop up.
I'm a nerd.
But good times. Hey, Kevin, I like the cut of your jib, son.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Come back anytime.
I will. Thank you guys for having me.
Bring me an iPhone. We'll take a quick break. T.
Yes.
What's coming up in the news?
Well, Madonna has been making some very interesting demands on reporters.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you what those are.
It's not like her. Take a quick break. Be back with the news next on The Adam Carolla Show.
And now, The Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
With a large amount of cheese at Cheese Carver in Wisconsin, is taking on a monumental task of creating Mount Rushmore out of a 700-pound block of Lancaster cheddar.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
How pissed is that dude's wife? Honey, I got a plan. Rent a Ryder truck. You got your cheese money, your emergency cheese money? I'm going to carve Mount Rushmore out of cheddar. Don't argue with me, woman. Just get in the truck. Honey, I hope you're listening. This is what other guys do. They carve... mountains of cheese in their kitchen. You understand? So my constant complaining, my talking too loud on the phone, or me constantly just being more interested in looking at cars on eBay over my children is hardly anything. I could be carving Mount Rushmore into a block of cheddar. Or worse, Havarti? What's that other cheese?
Havarti will do.
Yes. All right, T.
Yes.
The news, baby doll.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Last week, a mysterious blackmailer contacted the reigning Miss New Jersey, Amy Palumbo, threatened to release around a dozen racy photos of her to the press unless she stepped down from her position as the winner. Now, Miss New Jersey is claiming that the photos were available on her Facebook page. That's a social networking website, generally used by college students, and that she took them down a long time ago. But she says they couldn't have been that bad because Facebook has rules against using explicit images.
Yeah, that's why I don't cruise it anymore.
Right, what's the point? Now, Miss New Jersey hypothesizes who could have done this. Who could possibly be blackmailing her and why? Mm. Here she is on the Today Show.
I really don't know. Whoever this is, I think they're a very miserable person, and I really feel bad for them. And it could be anyone, and it's really disheartening to think it would be a contestant. But I really don't think any of my family members or friends would do this to me. I have a great support system at home and at school.
Ironically, blackmail, the one crime the blacks don't get involved with.
Right.
Huh.
Very ironic. The more you know.
Blackmail is a white collar crime.
Yeah, just not into it.
Well, Ty Pennington was involved in several crimes.
Let's change it to white male.
Against white humanity.
Yeah, not a black
against
crime.
Humanity. Ty Pennington, as you know, got the DUI recently. He pled no contest.
Mm-hmm.
These days, he is in Billings, Montana, shooting his show Extreme Makeover Home Edition. And while he was there, the local DJ, Big J is his name.
Big J.
Lured him.
I can't believe he doesn't use his Christian name.
It seems so weird. Yeah. Mm. Well, Big J was kind of going off on Ty Pennington and mocking him and confronting him. And he finally, the oldest trick in the book, he finally baited Ty Pennington into coming on his show. He was saying stuff like, oh, you know, Ty uses a spray bottle to fake sweat for the cameras, etc. So finally, Ty calls into Big J. Here's what went on.
Why all the hating? I mean, what's going on, man? I mean, I'm here. You got any questions about what we do? Let me know. I mean, I'll give you the honest answer. First of all, I do not mist myself down to look like I've been working. Actually, if you look at the bags under my eyes, that's pretty much proof that I work pretty darn hard. But anyway, go ahead. I just heard you guys were talking all kinds of crap about the show.
That's cool. You're a real-life cool guy, so thank you for what you do, man. Thank you for being a cool enough guy to call in. It's Big J Show, the official morning show. Billings, Ty Pennington, thanks for joining us this morning, and thanks for what you do, and get back to work on the house.
Before you go, can you just say, Ty, you're not a jackass.
Ty Pennington, you are not a jackass, my man.
I think he made his point.
Well, he stood up to Ty. What was he doing?
What was that?
It's bizarre.
It's over the phone. You're supposed to yell at people over the phone.
If I'm beating your ass on the radio, right? If I'm calling you all sorts of names and saying, you spritz yourself down to look like you're working and you're painting your abs so you're looking like you work out and you sleep with other men or any other things I might be saying about any other person, and that person calls in.
Give me a break.
Even if they win the argument, the argument goes on a long time because we're on the radio doing our job. You don't go, hey, and Ty Pennington is a punk-ass bitch. Oh, he's on line six. Ty, sorry. Thanks for being on
the
show.
Fan. Here's a windbreaker.
What do they do? What
Big
do they
Jane
do?
Big Jane the Morning Mug coming right out to your
God
place.
Damn you.
God.
Do you think they asked him to do some liners?
Oh.
This is Ty Pennington, and you're listening to Big J.
I'm
not a jackass.
Extreme Morning Makeover.
Let's play some games.
I can't think of what would make me heave faster. Thinking about morning radio, the general state of morning radio, or the general state of home improvement shows on network televisions. Because
morning radio.
Morning radio is horrible. It's populated with horrible, horrible people. I include myself. I really do.
Oh, I crown you king.
And everyone in this room.
No.
Ty Pennington, such an imposter, though. And the idea that he passes himself off as a carpenter. He's not a carpenter. He doesn't know anything about carpentry. I've quizzed him many times. And again, it's sort of a job, not as important, but it's sort of like being a pilot. And if you ask somebody who said they were a pilot, well, explain to me what the CG is, and he didn't know that stood for center of gravity, then he's not a pilot.
Right.
He's not a pilot. He may be someone who's interested in planes, but he's not a pilot. Ty Pennington, not a carpenter, and I see him on all these Bear aspirin commercials, standing there in his tool bags, and it's everything that's wrong with Hollywood.
Yes, I would agree with you. I know he worked on Trading Spaces, and they had an actual carpenter that would do all the work, and then he would run in to do the on-camera stuff.
Yeah. All right.
But
now, a nice guy, sure. Ty Pennington, I'm sure. I've talked to him before. He's one of these Peter Pan guys. Most people are stupid. Most people don't know the topic. So all you have to know is 2% more than they know to be the expert in the room.
Right.
Ty Pennington's a little bit of a sociopath. He talks his way into situations. He told me as much. I said, how did you learn about carpentry? He said, I didn't. I just faked my way in. And he continues to do it. So be it. Fine. It's a good show, and they're helping people out.
Yeah.
I feel bad but let's not mistake him for an expert. That's
right.
All I'm saying. And the problem is when you put yourself in a position where you play an expert and you pass yourself off as an expert, well, eventually people are going to ask questions and you're going to look stupid. But who cares? You're making money hand over fist. So you take a little crap from Big J over there in Montana. So be it. The part of the whole thing I'm done complaining about Ty Pennington.
Do you want to complain about Madonna?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
good.
Yes.
All right. Well, you know, the Live Earth concert took place over the weekend, and she participated in the concert, and she had some demands about the reporters who were going to interview her. Now, first of all, she insisted. You know how some celebrities don't want you to look in their eye?
Mm-hmm.
She insisted that.
Really?
I thought that was like
urban whatever.
Yeah,
really?
Don't
urban
look at myth. Prince when he walks in. You have to look at the floor, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I thought, who could actually be that colossal an a-hole? And as far as Prince goes, he's already on the floor.
Well,
I'm 6'2". I have to look between my goddamn legs to see that midget.
No, that's not Prince. That's
your
wang.
That's not Prince.
It's also purple.
Wang.
It comes when I call Prince.
Excuse me? Don't say it again.
Now, Madonna insisted that reporters who were going to talk to her would not avert their gaze the entire time they conducted the interview. In other words, she wanted them to maintain eye contact the entire time. Now, what that means to the reporters is that you can't look down at your notes, and you have to memorize all of your questions. So they all had
plus, it must have been confusing first when Madonna, with her British accent, was like, and there'll be no averting the gaze. And they're like, we don't want to talk to your backup dancers, Madonna. Yeah. That's what you're talking about.
Right. She, the reporters thought she was joking at first, according to the Mirror. And she said she did not want to do any interviews from the start unless these rules were abided by. And she also insisted that they couldn't ask about Guy Ritchie, Little David, that's her baby from Malawi, or Kabbalah. All of those subjects were off.
Well, yeah. What's left of her?
The singing and dancing.
Mm.
No?
Yeah. Look, the nature... I mean, the whole reason you interview somebody is so you can ask them questions that might be interesting to your audience, not questions about the very obvious stuff. We just saw you singing and dancing.
Right.
We don't need to talk to you about stuff you do. We have a TV. We can watch you sing and dance. We don't need to discuss that. We want to discuss what we want to discuss. That's the point of the interview. If you don't want to do an interview, then don't do it. But the people that have all the rules about their interview, that's just chicken ass.
Yeah.
Don't do the interview.
No,
don't do interviews. That's fine. Or do an interview and then go look up the goddamn definition of interview. People ask you questions about you and you answer them.
Right. Exactly. Now, we just talked about Ty Pennington, who had a DUI bust, and so did Nicole Richie, and she may be facing time in jail. Lionel Richie thinks that both Nicole and her friend Paris Hilton might learn something from their experiences, and here's what he had to say about his daughter.
I'm sure in the case of Paris, and I'm sure in the case of Nicole, you know, sometimes trial by fire is the only way you kind of get it. Let's not beat around the bush. If it's something that you did that was absolutely wrong, then there's a price you pay for it. I'm not worried about her dealing with this as a reality. Yeah. You know, so whatever it's going to be, she'll own it.
What is he saying?
He's saying if she goes to jail, F her. She deserved it.
He made more sense when he's talking about dancing on the ceiling.
Yeah.
What a
You know what I'd do if I was... sorry. What a feeling. So you know what I'd do if I was Lionel Richie? He seems like the nicest, richest guy on the planet. If I were Lionel Richie, because she's adopted,
right.
I would call up the band member I adopted her from 25 years ago and be like, hey, Bob, need to talk to you for a second. Why don't you just meet me out in the courtyard? And I would get a running start. I'd put on a pair of combat boots, and I would get a running start, and I'd say, hey, Bob, do me a favor. Do that thing where you interlock your fingers and you tuck it behind your neck like you're stretching, out in a first-class lounge. And I would get a running start and put my steel shank boot right into that guy's groin. And I'd go, nice job, dude. Thanks a lot.
Well, do you blame him?
Great work. Of course.
Of course. As you better blame yourself, and who does that?
All he did was write hit songs and give her money and put her up in a mansion and send her to boarding school in Zurich, for Christ's sake.
Well, I'll say this. There's a widespread rumor that Nicole Richie is pregnant. I don't know if you've heard this. She has not confirmed it, but it is very widespread. And
so she.
And Lionel Richie was asked about being a grandfather, and did he know if she was pregnant? And doesn't seem to.
Mm. Well, I'm telling you right now, to this day, she has not formally announced to me
that she's pregnant.
I've had more people to tell me congratulations, and I don't know.
You don't know.
She's not formally announced.
Formally, yeah.
Like a guy was going to come in with a scroll and ring a bell.
Hear ye, hear ye. Put that tube. Ring the bell.
Well, I'd like to announce this. Hear ye, hear ye. That's the news. I'm Teresa Strasser.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser.
Ah, good news. Finally, a little eye candy in the studio.
What?
What?
I was going to say, you know, T, you're like a sister.
I know. An ugly one.
Yeah. No! No!
What about Danny?
What about me?
Danny, you're like a sister to me, too. you're like a sister with a goatee. Never stop smoking.
Danny, to move on.
Like a sister on steroids. Rides a Harley. You're like, you know, a sister to me. Tattoos and veins coming out of his forehead and arms. Like a sister. Like a sister to me who snorts into the microphone. You're both like sisters and... Brian, you're like a gay bald stepbrother who we hope doesn't show up for Thanksgiving this year because his Miata broke down.
You're losing your hair
on the Hershey Highway.
We put him at the kids' table.
Yeah, but we're going to. What's the matter, son? Your Miata break down on Hershey Highway again? Right. But we got some hot chicks coming in the studio. That's what I'm trying to say.
Other hot
chicks. Tamra Whitmer. That's right. Other hot chicks. And Carrie Kimmel. What? Can't be related to Kimmel. She's too hot. She's a performer. They're going to be at the L.A. Motorcycle Show coming up, and we'll talk to those very fine-looking women next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. From her debut release, A Day in the Life, Carrie Kimmel is on The Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, also Tamra Whitmer. Here as well. They're going to be at the motorcycle show at the Queen Mary at in Long Beach this weekend. No relation to Jimmy Kimmel, right?
He's my dad, actually. You
really?
Know that? Yeah. Now, do people ask you that all the time? All the time. Since I moved to LA, everybody asks me that.
Really?
Nobody asked me that until I moved here, but yeah.
Oh, really?
If he's your dad?
Yeah, no. I actually don't know if we're related. There's a whole lot of people in my family I don't know. So there's a possibility, but not that I know of.
It's her fifth cousin.
Right. You guys should be forced to mate to produce a super Kimmel.
Oh, my gosh.
Or something.
That would be extremely scary.
Nine thumbs and four eyeballs. Well, either way, yes. It would be an experiment I'd like
cool.
to watch.
Just call Jimmy, it Cool Kimmel.
Is yeah. Jimmy Kimmel musical as well?
No, he, yeah.
He
First
is?
Off, well,
He played the clarinet.
Right.
There's a shocker.
Yes, he plays the butt trumpet all day long. If you've ever been on a road trip, he'll woo you with his symphonic ass. No, he played the clarinet in junior high, and there's great pictures of him wearing like huge glasses, weighing 120 pounds, and being dwarfed by clarinet. So,
do you have any of those pictures?
I think I could probably.
I think they might be on AdamCarolla.com later.
You know
something cool? Okay, yes. So this calendar show in Long Beach,
yes.
For the one calendar that I'm on the cover of, I think it's the Iron and Lace calendar. Brad Pitt just bought that motorcycle.
Tamara speaking.
Yeah, yeah, no, sorry, Tamara. Sorry.
Former playmate and going to be presiding over the motorcycle show. Yeah, I'm looking at the picture of the bike, and it's a really cool sort of retro. It's weird.
Yeah, it is kind of weird, but it's cool.
Yeah, and Brad Pitt, who I've seen zipping around town on a motorcycle, is evidently pretty much pretty into bikes. And at first you think, what's that celebrity doing on a bike? And then you think, well, it's sort of diabolical because he puts the full fairing helmet right on. It's blacked out.
How
and
do you know it's him?
He's every guy who's 5'10 and 180 pounds,
right.
Thus you don't know who he is, except for you will when he's on a $45,000, or let's make it $145,000 motorcycle with no baffles on it going down the street.
Yeah, see, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And you know what? If you want to see the bike, go to fastdates.com. That's
what
you can see motorcycles.
What does fastdates.com
have
to do with motorcycles?
Okay, because motorcycles are fast, right?
Hold on. I'm riding.
Yeah.
I'm riding.
I'm taking it. Okay, so
are fast.
Fast dates. Like, I don't know, like a date on the calendar, maybe. Like, oh, we're in, what month are we in? July. Today.
Hey,
I thought, what
Tamara,
about, like,
just,
a hot
just say you don't know.
Yeah.
That's
could be
all.
A romantic date.
Is it a date site? Is that where you pick
like,
a
no,
speed
date? Like a speed date. No.
Let me
a date with a motorcycle, okay?
Yes.
Not a date with me.
Okay,
Tamara,
let me.
A date
what's
with
the
a motorcycle.
A date with a goat and a date with a motorcycle.
Tamara, let me explain how this. Let me explain how this should be addressed.
Are
the next radio
make fun
show.
Of me?
No,
are
I'm
you
not.
Make fun of me?
No, I'm not. I'm gonna make fun of Danny. All right, go ahead, Danny. You asked me what the significance of fast dates is.
Tamara, I don't really understand exactly what is fast dates.
None of your GD business, Rusty Pubes.
That's how you should address things. Well, now I know.
You
okay.
Understand?
No, I won't hold back then next time.
Let's practice.
I won't
right
hold
now,
back.
Shall we?
Try it again.
Tamara, let me ask you, I don't really understand completely. What is fast dates?
Shut your GD pothole. That was very good, but you left out. You call him, what do you call him? It's based on his pube color. Oh, Rusty.
You're okay, I'm going to tell
that. No, that was pretty
good.
Solid. That was
right.
Solid.
I'm like snorting.
Let's
sorry.
Try it one more.
Right. No, this is too exciting.
One more.
How about yes. We talk about the calendar show? Listen, Lady Clairol, we've got our own business.
You're lucky you're hot, Tamara, I gotta tell you.
Thank you.
I would have had Danny choke you out hours ago
fun.
If you weren't so hot.
That's not fun.
What year, when was your, I want to go find you on Playboy.
Okay,
what's your year?
I was Miss August 2005, and I was also in the Lingerie Bowl. I was, yes.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Same year.
What position did you play?
Center.
Mm-hmm.
So I was the hiker.
Now why? I see you as more of a skilled position
right.
player.
Specialty?
Flanker,
you know?
Something like that, yeah.
You know, I should have been the quarterback. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or returning punts.
Or doing something.
I give a rat's ass about positions on the football field, you guys.
Have you dated any famous guys while you've been here in Los Angeles?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
But, yeah.
Yeah.
But
guys,
that's who cares about that.
I know you're not supposed to talk about it, but just tell us this. Guys are scumbags, especially celebrities, right?
I the ones that I know are okay.
Really?
Some are better than others.
I'm scum.
Some are better than others.
But have you gotten calls from their publicists and stuff because they saw you in Playboy?
Oh, it's so funny. Yeah. When my month was out, I was getting called all the time and I was like really surprised. I'm like, oh my God, like who are these guys? But it's really
it's funny. Mm-hmm.
Give us one name.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no. No name dropping. No.
Name of a show
he may have been on. Yeah, we'll guess.
Here's what scumbags male celebrities are. They don't even call themselves. They get their publicist to call
the
person and set up a lunch. You just watch TV and you go, wow, that chick's hot. Or you open Playboy and you go, wow, that chick's hot. And then you have your publicist, your ironically gay publicist.
She's just about to tell us.
It's weird. No, because I would get notified through emails.
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious?
Yeah, people would like send me emails and they're like, hi, I'm blah, 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 and I represent blah, blah, blah.
Nick Cage. Yeah.
Right.
She's not given any names.
And they're like, name is not blah, blah, blah.
You know, it'd be sad if there was an actual celebrity named blah, 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 blah getting screwed all
there
the time.
There should be.
So give us the name of the show blah, blah, blah was on.
I don't even know. I don't think I've dated any guys on any shows.
What about is blah, blah, blah in a band?
Well, I don't know. Oh, you know what? Actually, I can talk about one thing. Yeah. I'm on a show coming up with Bret Michaels, but that's...
The Rock of Love?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that
That's actually the same day as... It airs the same day as the bike show. The
15th?
Long Beach bike show in Long Beach. Yeah, on the 15th.
Yeah.
It airs that same night.
What is it?
Bret Michaels, 9 o'clock. Has a show that's coming up, where they lock him in the house with a bunch of super hot playmates and strippers, and he has sex with all of them.
Guess he's on VH1. Awesome. No.
What? What's it about?
No, it's cool. I don't know. You have to watch it.
You guys all sit around and try to figure out Avogadro's number. Just to guess.
Who?
I don't know. That's a math problem.
Now call her Jupubes and tell her to shut up. The motorcycle show is going to be this weekend, July 14th, July 15th.
Yeah, come see me and Carrie. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Down at the Queen Mary. Carrie Kimmel, no relation, but...
She's a good musician. I enjoyed her song, which we played earlier.
I got to tell you, Dawson, our engineer, gave it the big thumbs up. He was back in his booth.
I was
going to
sing you a song, but you know.
I know. We just have about 30 seconds left, but gave it a nice big thumbs up, and he's a pretty tough nut to crack. Huh. CarrieKimmel.com is where you go.
K-A-R-I is the spelling.
Kimmel.com is where you go if you want to get yourself a... CD or find out anything about that. Also, the motorcycle show again this weekend, 14th and 15th at the Queen Mary. See how beautiful these girls are in real life.
Go to fastdates.com and shut your pie hole, rusty pubes.
And chew pubes.
Take a quick break. Be right back after this. All righty. Well, that was interesting.
What?
Kari and Tamara.
Yeah.
Kind of
a little chatty.
I learned a lot.
Learned a lot about motorcycles.
And rusty pubes.
Where'd the show go? It's gone, Daddy, gone. Well, good times. I want to thank Richard Rawlings for coming in here. He's the guy who drove his car a million miles an hour across the United States, endangering your children. Kevin Pereira. Heck of the show, G4, weeknights, 7 o'clock and 11. Of course, Kari and Tamara, L.A. calendar, motorcycle show this Saturday and Sunday. See Brad and probably Leno out there as well at the Queen Mary in Long Beach. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.
I'm the Snicker Bar, bitch. And I'm like, huh? I'm $9, bitch.